Okay, I'm not sure we're going to be able to do the show tonight.
Why?
Because we have just had one of the signs of the apocalypse, and we will reveal it soon. There are signs throughout the universe that you need to pay attention to every now and then.
Yes.
And, Ron, are we correct? As of a few minutes ago, we now have one of those signs.
I'm not sure what sign it is, but I'll say yes, you are correct.
The Cubs are what? 31-27?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You know, it's about to change. It's about to change. Cubs are leading 6-1 with just one out to go in the top of the ninth.
Then they'll be 32 because... Sox and Cubs right now, 31-27. The same
record. I'll tell you what, I would have lost that bet, but the White Sox have really been doing well. They had a great game today. Uh-oh.
Now it's 38.
Oh, no, it's three outs. PCA with the catch. There you go.
Okay. Well, they're for a few seconds.
For a few seconds.
The universe was... It's very strange.
It was tilted, right?
Yes.
It was the best May for the White Sox since 2023.
Right.
And then, as I recall, shortly after that, the wheels kind of fell off.
Yeah.
And things...
Well, after the Cubs-Sox series, as several people said on social media, the Sox broke the Cubs.
That's what it seemed like, yeah.
And it took a while for them to...
No, don't forget, Sam Sianas passed away that same weekend. So
that's
probably
true.
Was the curse.
Yeah, Cubs fans will tell you they're not worried or they weren't worried. But let me tell you, I was a little bit worried there.
Yeah.
Yes, you were.
I was a little bit worried.
But if you are a Chicago baseball fan,
yeah.
What a great time right now.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow.
30,000 showing up for Sox games on a Wednesday, 14,000 showed up.
Happy to see it. As a Cubs fan, I've been through some seasons which were not good, a couple of hundred lost seasons, and it's not a lot of fun. So it's good to see them pull out of it, and I'm happy for them and their fans.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun when you can say, well, I've watched the Sox game. Let me go over there and check and see what the Cubs are doing. Yeah. So we're very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. And the next City Series is going to be just crazy.
Yes
it is. And the Cubs will probably sweep.
Hello?
Excuse me? Hello?
Hello?
That's just my biased,
biased
prediction.
Yeah, that was bold.
The Cubs are coming back right now. They're back on track. So.
Yeah, he kind of slipped that in, you notice. He's just moving right along.
Yeah. Well, by the way.
Yes. Have you heard? I have a quick question. Put on your movie hat for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because for those who don't know, you can hear Ron reviewing movies on Thursdays on the Lisa Dent Show.
And yes, giving his brownie points.
Yes.
What the heck is a movie called Back Rooms that's number one at the box office this weekend?
Well, you know what liminal spaces are?
No.
Oh, I do know that. In fact, there is a Facebook group that I joined for about a day and a half, and then they kicked me out because they didn't like something about the pictures that I was posting.
Oh,
what?
My. Well.
Yeah, it's kind of like sort of a long like horizon view of something and how it's lit and stuff like that. I'm circling the drain on this one.
Yeah, it's kind of like a puzzle. It's like a maze of some kind, and that's what Back Rooms is. It's a maze, and it's supposed to be quite good, and it's been getting a big buzz, and I can't wait to see it. I want to see it this week or next, for sure.
Is it a horror movie?
A psychological horror movie, because once you go into one of these back rooms, you just see...
Oh, I don't want to see that.
All this space, it's not supposed to be there.
What?
And there it is. And
it sounds like the House of Mirrors or something.
It's freaky, yeah, a House of Mirrors. So it's very creative, from what I understand, very original. And it's, like I said, it's getting a good buzz. So as far as movies go, I'm in. I'm going to check it out.
Well, it actually beat Star Wars this weekend.
How about that?
Yeah, that's huge.
Huge.
Star Wars fans may just be getting tired of Star Wars at this point.
Well, I've read one complaint, and that is CGI is too obvious in this version of Star Wars.
Oh, The Mandalorian and Grogu. Yeah. I concur with that. Yeah, it's just, it's kind of more of the same, and the story is not as good as in the other Star Wars movies, so it doesn't involve you unless you're a really deeply involved Star Wars fan. I talked to Lauren Lapka about it, and she is. She watches all of the, you know, the animated shows.
Right.
I almost call them cartoons, but the animated shows and the TV shows and the movies. And she said there were a lot of Easter eggs in there for those types of fans that they got really excited about and they enjoyed. But for me, I'm just more of a casual fan, and I watched it as a movie expecting, you know, a story that would, you know, involve me emotionally, and it's really, really, really not there. It's kind of fun to watch things blow up and and on the pew-pew-pews, and there are no lightsabers this time. It's the first Star Wars movie without any lightsabers of any kind.
Sans the sabers.
Yeah. But one of our first reactions just seeing one of the trailers was, boy, there's a lot of obvious CGI.
Yeah, there are.
But sometimes in trailers, I think those are released before they perfect the movie. So I was giving it, you know, a chance. But then that seemed to be the number one complaint by critics.
One of the observations that I had was that, like, there's a new character in there, and he's all CGI, and he's all obviously CGI. And I thought, you know, if Star Wars was made today with the technology of today, Chewbacca would be a CGI character instead of a big, tall guy a mask and a hairy suit. And
you are right.
It wouldn't be the same. You know, I mean, I kind of like that. I mean, you knew it was a big, tall guy in a hairy suit and a mask. You knew that.
Wait, what?
But
I dated him.
But I mean, it's possible. But CGI wouldn't have made it any better. I think it would have made it less. It would have made him less relatable. I mean, it was.
Would that be the perfect set of artificial intelligence radio station call letters? WCGI.
Ooh.
That would be it. It would be it.
But as we learned last week on the show when we did our text segment, the four radio stations that were set up with various forms of AI, they all four failed miserably. Four different attempts, four different AI, and every one of them was laughable.
Our producer du jour, Jeff Carlin, was taking a little bit of umbrage with that that hairy comment.
No, it was just a revelation for him, right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. To this day, I thought I was going to be able to take a trip someday to Wookiee Island.
You, Steve, that reminded me.
Sorry. Don't say anything about Santa Claus, guys, okay?
Okay.
Just don't say anything. By the way, the Easter Bunny.
That I just realized that one of the new designations, apparently, or one of the new requirements for a producer for our show.
Yeah.
Take a look over in the glass.
Yeah.
What is one of the new requirements?
What, they have to have a beard?
Yeah.
Well, she can't help it.
Oh, be here all week.
Back to Star Wars. In 2 weeks when we're in Florida, we have to talk to the news anchor
there. I was just thinking about
this. Who's the Mandalorian?
He is.
He has been the Mandalorian in Star Wars movies.
Was that right?
Yes. Wow. And now he's a news anchor.
It's in a metal suit. I mean, Pedro Pascal is supposed to be playing the Mandalorian, but you only see his face.
Yeah.
Like about 3 minutes.
He does
He's a primetime news anchor on WJHG.
And he does all of the Star Wars festivals.
Yep.
And so he's recognized as Mandalorian.
Wow.
We should pick his brains about that.
Because we're going to be down in Panama City Beach in about 2 weeks, so when we're done, we'll have to do that.
Before we take a break, I'm telling you, I'm going to go on record as saying I cannot wait till June 12th. How about you, Ron? June 12th,
is that Disclosure Day?
Yes!
Disclosure Day, I'm going to be first in line, too.
I'm so excited.
I'm going to have a ticket, that's going to be great.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you by any chance happen to watch the Emily Blunt interview with Jimmy Kimmel?
She is
just charming.
She is a delightful human being.
Yes, she is.
She is so sharp, so funny, so adorable,
and apparently she's getting as much positive buzz as the movie is getting. She's getting.
Yeah.
equal positive buzz.
She's being singled out as an outstanding performance, so good for her and good for Steven Spielberg. I think he's, you know, we kind of take him for granted because he's made so many good movies for so long, and he's kind of dismissed by a lot of fans for being, oh, he's just popular. He does the popular movies. They're not artistic movies. It's, you know, it's, and those are easy. Well, they are not.
No, he's not at all.
He's a master storyteller, and when he makes a movie, it's a great one, so...
Well, I read one review that said it is, Disclosure Day is E.T. meets the Bible. I went, whoa.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's some heavy stuff there.
Yeah, best picture in 20 years is a headline I saw. Best Spielberg picture in 20 years.
Wow. Yep. So, oh, great. Well, then we'll talk about it on the 13th of June.
Yes,
for sure.
We will.
Okay. We have a full show tonight and a whole bunch of people we're going to introduce you to.
Our new producer designate, we will introduce you to in a little bit. And one of the things that our producer designate needs to learn is that we do the breaks when we do the breaks. Jeff, would you concur with that?
I concur.
Okay, so let's do a break. We have a ton of things planned for tonight. This will be our last night of Celiac Awareness Month, so Johnny will have one of her gluten-free recipes coming up a little later. And in a few minutes, we're going to introduce you to a cool kid. he is such a cool kid. He is in high school.
Yes.
And he goes to a high school in the Chicago area.
And he is going to raise awareness for celiac, because he does have celiac disease, by playing pickleball, a pickleball tournament to raise money and awareness. So we'll tell you all about that coming up.
Yeah. Also, a little later tonight, we will introduce you to a guy whose voice you absolutely have heard.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know his name, but you have heard his voice on tons of Chicago broadcast facilities. William Lindsay Cochran, or do you call him Bill Cochran?
Mm-hmm.
And he is involved, well, it is his group, which is such a cool concept, Great Moments in Vinyl.
Yep.
Where they will take a group, a performer, and they will do a concert replicating two albums
from that group, which that means, think about it, when you're doing the Doobie Brothers, that's a sound that's quite different than the Beatles, which is quite different than Janis Joplin, different than the Police, just a couple of the groups
and,
that they
and
have.
And if it's a group that has strings, they bring in a string section. This is
if
such
it's a, female
a
singer,
cool...
Bring in a female singer.
Jeff, you're nodding. You have...
Oh, gosh. No one does it. Like, I mean, you want tight, like, recreation with backstory and storytelling. Bill does it. It's amazing.
And that's one of the cool things, too. He will give you the stories behind the albums and behind the people. Also, a little later tonight, the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel, joins us. And boy, have we got things to talk about with Tom.
Yeah. Quick question. Bob's in studio with us, keeper of the big plug. Do you recall?
By the way,
what?
Did you park your Zamboni? As we pulled into the downstairs parking lot, we parked next to
a Zamboni.
It looks like it's a Zamboni.
Well, you know, you get around. Some people, for a little spin, left it downstairs.
Some people use a golf cart. He uses a Zamboni. We laughed when the gate came up and we pulled in and saw that's where we park, and there it is. Did you see it, Jeff?
I did. Yeah. I figured he was getting it detailed.
Bob's that kind of guy. Clean up the joint and clean up the Zamboni. Yeah, we should take a picture of it.
We have to if it's still there. Well, unless Bob is riding it around to clean up the studio.
The green mean machine. Speaking of riding around, do you recall what you paid for gas last time you gassed up?
Oh, I did today.
Yeah?
$4.19.
Oh.
But that was local.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but if I go 7 whole miles into Indiana, it would be way less.
Really?
And what grade? Are you
regular?
Regular, premium,
That was regular, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we had to get premium, and it was $6.09. Oh, ouch.
Well, you know, the listeners to our radio station heard Bill Cunningham bragging on his show how he filled up his giant Suburban.
With what, $3.99? No, he did not say
yes,
that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Okay. And he brought it up only 3 times.
Your voice is dripping.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, 3 times.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, golly. Yeah, we'll talk about that, too. Yeah. And this business of oil. We just had to take our car in because we had an oil leak, and now we're told that,
we're going to talk about that with Tom Appel tonight, yeah. Because the price for your next oil change or the kind of oil you are getting could be impacted by a ton of things that have been going on for a while.
But we have got some good news. We will have a lot of good news. In fact, I want to give a quick shout-out, and we're not doing our shout-outs just now, but I want to say hey to George, who was our last caller last week from Italy.
Yes.
And tonight, he is listening from Florence, Italy. So, buongiorno, George.
Yes, buongiorno.
And family. Yes, he said a month-long foreign pass for his phone is $100 on Verizon, otherwise $12 a day back to Chicago on Monday. So he's just got a weekend, and it's Sunday morning there.
Well,
he called us last week from the island of Capri.
Yes.
Yeah, great trip. Gosh. Time now for a news update. Stay with us right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And yes, we are gluten-free. We are the world's first gluten-free radio show, have been since
25 years.
Yeah, 25 years when I was first diagnosed with celiac disease. And we have been observing for the entire month of May, which is Celiac Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm. And each week, we spent a few minutes talking to someone about something that might be new to you. If you are new to the world of gluten-free, if you are or know someone has been recently diagnosed with celiac disease, we'd like to tell you about some of the things that are happening in this world. And right now, we want to introduce you to a young man who is a student at Adlai Stevenson High School. He is also a member of the Teen Advisory Committee of the National Celiac Association. And he's got a pretty neat thing coming up he wants to tell you about. He is Eli Sommerfeld. How are you, Eli?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. What year are you in high school?
So I just finished junior year. I'm going to be a rising senior at Stevenson High School in Lincolnshire.
Uh-huh.
And how old are you, and how old were you when you were first diagnosed?
So I'm 17 now, and I was diagnosed when I was almost 3 years old. So I've basically lived my whole life with the gluten-free lifestyle, you know, bringing lunches to birthday parties. But, yeah, I've been used to gluten-free is all I know.
Really? Wow, you're very fortunate then to be diagnosed as a young child, because I'm sure over the years you've met people that have struggled with getting a diagnosis. Life has been pretty miserable, and finally they get the diagnosis and go, oh, I don't need any medicine, I just need to change my diet, right?
Yes, my uncle actually fits in that boat. He was diagnosed a couple years ago, so it's definitely harder to adapt to celiac disease later in life when you're already, you know, used to eating gluten every day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask, and I don't expect you to remember the specifics because you were kind of young at the time, but do you have any information on how were you diagnosed? Because there weren't a whole lot of doctors that were paying attention to this
14 years
that many
ago.
Years ago.
Yeah.
So for me, I believe I wasn't growing that much during that time period, and I was having trouble absorbing like nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into the doctor, got a blood test, and I think that proved that I had celiac at that point.
Oh, so that was the life-changing moment for you.
Yeah.
And it's quite common. We've talked to many, many parents that said their children, for example, if they were 5 years old, they looked like they were 2 years old because they just weren't growing. Because the nutrients were escaping from their body, they just weren't looking healthy and certainly not feeling very good. So 3 years old was a real turning point for you. Do you go to school with many kids who identify as being celiac and on the gluten-free diet?
So in a school of 4,500 students, there are definitely other people with celiac disease at school. However, I'm not aware of anyone specifically.
Interesting. So you have been able since for 14 years, this has been your lifestyle. So when you go to parties, you take your food, you take your cake, all right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and you are, I take it you are kind of a dedicated pickleball player. Where did you come up with the idea? I love this. Explain what this is, the pickleball tournament, and how it helps increase awareness of celiac disease.
Yeah, so I've been playing pickleball actually for 5 years now, And at the end of sophomore year, I reached out, just cold emailed Chris Rich, who's the CEO of National Celiac Association, mm-hmm. and he showed a lot of interest. So we met multiple times over video call to discuss logistics and ideas. And Chris was very supportive, and really, this really wouldn't be possible without him. He actually drove in for our event last summer from Ohio, and it kind of came to fruition through our teamwork. And I decided to do this because it blends both who I am as a person with celiac disease with, of course, my favorite sport, pickleball, in a way that really makes a difference for the celiac community and hopefully raises a lot of awareness.
Yeah.
I drew inspiration from other tournaments in the area and thought I could do that too. so this event really just made sense to me and my interests.
Our listeners met Chris Rich the first night that we were recognizing Celiac Awareness Month, and we met him for the first time, too. And thankfully, he introduced us to you.
And is it Instagram that there's a very cool video of the two of you talking about it?
Yes. During our tournament last year, we were talking on Instagram, and he posted a video on that. But something that also the Teen Advisor Committee for National Celiac Association, which I'm a part of, that we've been doing, is we've been doing a social media initiative where teens with celiac disease, like me, I've made some videos where we answer common questions and prompts that people might be wondering about celiac disease. Hmm. And we go on there, and you can find that on their social media pages. So, for example, a question that we might answer is, what's something really frustrating about celiac disease? Or what's something you wish your friends knew about celiac disease? Things like that mm-hmm. we share, which is great for a lot of people to sometimes hear from teens.
Sure.
Rather than adults or infographics.
Or a doctor. I mean, it's a lot less scary when you're talking to somebody who is actually living the life. So that's a wonderful idea. The pickleball tournament, again, this is the second year for your pickleball tournament. This is going to be on June 28th. You'll have to forgive me. I know what pickleball is. I've never played pickleball. How does a tournament work? Anybody can get involved? Take us through it, if you would, Eli.
Yeah, pickleball is a sport for anyone. It's a combination of a lot of racket sports, mainly, you know, it's a combination of like tennis and ping pong, and the court is actually badminton dimensions. And at our tournament, we have three different divisions. They're split up based on Duper ratings, which is the universal pickleball rating system. The scores will not be reported to Duper, so it won't affect players' ratings. However, that's a good way for people to know where they belong. So we have a 3.99 and under, which is kind of for beginners to low intermediate players, a 4.0 to 4.49, which is for intermediate to high intermediate, and 4.5 plus, which is for highly advanced players in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sign up, how our tournament works is you play round robin pool play game, so you get placed in a pool, you play every team in your pool, and then based on your record, you get seeded into a single elimination bracket, which then eventually will get you to your winner and your third place match, and we'll give out the medals, and that's the podium. So that's kind of how the format works.
What in the world is a duper? Is that the word you're using, duper?
Yeah, so it's like it's a rating you have. It's like in tennis, there are UTR ratings, and pickleball, it's your duper rating.
Your duper. It's just kind of a silly word. You have to forgive me. I'm like, okay.
So if there are people listening to us right now that may not play pickleball, but they're interested, they would like to support or watch, how can they get involved?
Yeah. On the National Celiac Association website, which is nationalceliac.org. If you go to the events page, you can find the sign-up link and more details there. Mm-hmm. And if people in the Chicagoland area who are into pickleball and want to play, you can sign up there. But also on that same page is a spot to donate as well.
Now, I'm going to take you back to Dupers. Are you in the 4.5 group, the more advanced group?
I am. My Duper is a 4.76.
4.76? Wow. Do most pickleball players know what their Duper is so they would know where they would fall in what category?
No, but a lot of times, like, if you're playing, you know, in open play, like, you can get a gist of how, you know, your level is compared to them. Mm-hmm. You can always ask. The pickleball community is always very helpful. You can ask, like, well, where do you think I'd be placed? But also, like I said, I mean, that first division would be more for a beginner to low intermediate, and then it keeps increasing in level. So, no, you don't have to have a Duper. You don't really have to know what that is to even sign up for the tournament.
Interesting. And we're going to take a break and come back and talk about there is a registration fee. We'll tell our listeners exactly where to show up on that day. And some more details. We're talking with Eli Sommerfeld. Eli is in high school, and for the second year, he has organized a pickleball tournament to raise awareness for celiac disease through the National Celiac Association. Stay with us. We'll come right back with Eli on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I want some gluten-free rock and roll. May is Celiac Awareness Month, and each Saturday night we've been talking to someone about a different aspect of celiac awareness.
Mm-hmm. And gluten-free living and gluten-free life. And tonight we're spending some time with a high school student, Eli Sommerfeld. Eli is a student at Adlai Stevenson High School. And for the second year, he has organized a pickleball tournament to raise awareness for celiac disease through the National Celiac Association. And Eli, we need to talk about, now there is a registration fee for any pickleball player that wants to get involved. Do you want to tell us all about that?
Of course. The registration fee is $50 per player. You have to sign up with a partner. The location is at the Pickleball Kingdom in Waukegan, which is an indoor dedicated pickleball facility. And tentative start times, which are subject to change based on how many people sign up in each division, but are 10 a.m. for the 3.99 and under division, 12:30 p.m. for 4.0 to 4.49, and 3 p.m. for 4.5.
Now, at this facility, can people just come to observe the tournament?
Of course. Anyone can come to observe, whether it's family and friends, or if you're just coming to watch some good pickleball.
Mm-hmm. So the $50 registration fee, does that go toward the Celiac Association, or how does that work?
So all proceeds go to National Celiac Association. So all registration fees, and we do a raffle at the event. Mm-hmm. Where we'll have various pickleball equipment, such as paddles or a net or gift cards to your favorite gluten-free restaurant in the area. But and all of the money that is collected from the raffle also goes to National Celiac Association. So I'm not benefiting anything from this. Mm-hmm. So everything goes back to them.
That's wonderful.
I love this, Eli. Congratulations for coming up with the idea and for putting it together. Good for you.
Yeah. I'm going to talk partly personal because you are going into your senior year of high school this year. Have you thought about what you're going to do once you get through college? Do you see yourself doing something in the realm of celiac disease, maybe a doctor or something along those lines?
I'm actually interested in the business field and business path, and I think this also kind of connects to that because I've had to learn organizational skills through this tournament and leading a big group of people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, sending out a ton of emails and then like marketing and getting players to sign up, and then coming out of my shell, my own shell a little bit, like having to talk in front of a big group of people. But of course, I'll always stay very active in the celiac community, and hopefully, this pickleball event is not just, you know, it was last year and this year, but hopefully it goes for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Listeners want to know if there's a time limit. Can they, at the last minute, realize, oh, they've got some free time on Sunday, June 28th, and they are pickleball players? Can you do a last-minute registration, or what do you see the rules as being for this?
So the last date to register will be a couple days beforehand. Mm-hmm. It will most likely be June 25th.
Okay. Well, I tell you what we'll do. The Saturday before the last date to register, we will remind listeners about the pickleball tournament and how they can get out to Waukegan to the Pickleball Kingdom. And I'm sorry, I didn't know there was a Pickleball Kingdom in Waukegan. That's pretty cool because it's indoor. You don't have to worry about the weather.
Yeah.
And you can just play till your heart's content. Do you play pickleball at high school? Is there a team at high school or anything along those lines?
Yes, we do. My older brother, who is actually going to be a sophomore in college next year, he and I started the pickleball club at Stevenson High School. And what went from just having four people at our first open play meeting grew to over 70 members in our club.
Wow.
And
good for you.
We meet about every other Sunday in our gym on the basketball courts. We set up nets, and you know, we have players of all levels coming to play. And then we also started to do some matches against other schools. We've traveled to Palatine High School for an invitational tournament. We've also done tournaments at pickleball facilities in the area with a bunch of other schools. Other schools include Warren, Niles West, Palatine, Hersey, and more. So
wow,
it's definitely growing at the high school level, and I think it's only going to get bigger and bigger. Eventually, it'll become, you know, an official sport,
yeah,
like tennis.
Very cool.
You mentioned that there could be some certificates. People could win certificates to go to local gluten-free restaurants. What are some of your favorite gluten-free restaurants?
We need to know.
There's my go-to is honestly Chipotle.
Uh-huh.
And at Chipotle, to make sure, like, I get the burrito bowl there, and to make sure everything is safe, there's a special order you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times workers are trained on a gluten-free, like you tell them, oh, this is for a gluten allergy, mm-hmm, gluten-free order. And a lot of times they're trained on what they have to do for that. So that entails switching out their gloves, because if they had, mm-hmm, worked with a burrito in their last customer and now they're putting their hand in the cheese, that's cross-contamination.
Yep.
And someone with celiac disease could get sick from that. So usually they change out their gloves, and then they change out the bins where they have to without utensils. So,
right,
for example,
mm-hmm,
cheese and lettuce. So Chipotle is a go-to. Also, there's a place called Bibibop Asian Grill.
Yes.
We've heard a lot of good things about that.
Yeah.
Yep, they are 100% gluten-free. So you don't have to worry at all of any wheat in any of the items.
And if you're going for a little fancier, we're finding some good luck at Cooper's Hawk, because they have a beautiful,
yeah,
gluten-free menu. And so far, we've been lucky. That's me knocking on wood. It's been good.
And we've also found that there are some pizza places where if you go in and they will ask you, are you gluten-free for medical reasons? And if you say yes, they cook the pizza in a completely different oven, so there is zero chance of cross-contamination.
And change the gloves and use different ladles and all that good stuff. So sometimes it can be time-consuming, but it's important because you don't want to feel lousy. Right, Eli?
Exactly. Lou Malnati's is another place that I have found success with their gluten-free pizza.
Well, we hope you have great success with your pickleball tournament. We'll remind our listeners when we get closer to the date. It's June 28th. That's the Sunday. It's at the Pickleball Kingdom in Waukegan. You can get details by going to the National Celiac Association and clicking on events. And Eli, congratulations. This is a wonderful idea. And we're so happy to meet you. Thank you for joining us on the radio tonight.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye. Eli. What a cool kid.
Yeah, make this
good
whole
for him.
And when you look at the flyer they put together, this is very well done. It's very well thought out. And it was his idea.
And you can see the flyer. You can go to our blog and you'll see the flyer on our game plan. You can also go to nationalceliac.org. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can get all of the information.
And real quick, a listener says that DUPR stands for Dynamic Universal Pickleball Rating. That's where you get the word.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So live and learn, right?
That works for me. Out of the news, we are going to introduce you to a very, very cool guy who's done something that is just an extraordinary musical adventure. So stick around. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is so cool. I could let that play for the rest of the night, but we wouldn't have any time to talk about one of the coolest groups, one of the coolest ideas. In fact, I would like to spend some time inside our guest's mind to figure out how he came up with this idea.
Yes, our guest is William Lindsay Cochran. You may know him as Bill Cochran. Hey! All these years, we meet you!
Thank you so much. You know, I haven't been this excited since Gary Deeb put my name in the Tribune Radio and TV column when I got hired by XRT 45 years ago.
45 years.
Yes,
wow.
Back in the stolen age of broadcasting.
Yes, right. Back before computers. How did we splice tape? You know, I mean, that's
remember the brick and the blades,
the
razor blades.
Yes, right. Yes. I was a production director for many years, so those blades meant other things to me. You know, things,
yeah.
Other things I could cut when the sales department drove me too crazy.
Have you always been in Chicago?
I came here for college.
From?
We don't talk about that part of the country. But I came here for college, and I wanted to be a music major. I applied at Northwestern and didn't play well enough. So they put me in the College of Arts and Sciences and said, you know, you can audition later and maybe get brought in.
Uh-huh.
And is anyone listening to this? I don't want to. We were, you know, Northwestern. The music students only knew music. They didn't know other stuff. And in rock music and pop music was frowned on, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll just stay here in arts and sciences. I got an English major.
But how did you transition to radio?
WNUR, the college radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I was there when, a freshman year. I did the freeform show, 2 to 6 in the morning. So that made that 8 o'clock class interesting.
I bet.
back when freeform radio really was freeform radio.
It was. And, oh, my God, I think that, fortunately, the tapes I had of those days are long gone. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. But that's an important part of radio, is getting out there and making the mistakes, you know, figuring out what you're doing when the record dies.
Is it fair to say that whether it's radio or music, you have always had a passion for music? Because, boy, does that show through in all of your work.
Well, thank you so much. And you said some glowing things earlier, you know, and I think music is a passion, but I think really what it is for me is creativity. And it's using my creative skills to do whatever, whether it's the graphics for this band, whether it's writing the stories that I research online or read in autobiographies, or whether it's working with music, working with bands, figuring out how to put a band together for each show. I mean, Great Moments in Vinyl is not truly a tribute band. What it is a tribute series. It's me and whatever musicians I can hire for a show. And that's not a desperation kind of thing. It's more like these are the roster of people I've worked with, and I know they'll deliver the job.
Right.
Like we just did Janis Joplin with a woman by the name of Bree Gordon, and she had sung with us in a Dolly Parton show.
Last year.
Which we had two other singers lined up, two other female singers, so we could do some of the trio stuff, you know, the stuff that Dolly did with Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt.
Right.
Unfortunately, one of them got sick. the day of the show and called in to say, "Hey, I'm throwing up. Can you put a bucket by the side of the stage?" And I told the venue about that, and they said, "We think she should stay home."
So good call.
Yeah. So we're figuring it out, you know, sitting in the theater at soundcheck, and my drummer Greg Rapp, one of the many drummers I work with, he was downloading tracks for a couple of songs. And I know enough keyboards to get myself in trouble, so I was subbing for this woman who couldn't make the show, and you know, trying to figure out, what do I play in Purple Rain, because Dolly did a version of that, and what do I play in Southern Accents, the Tom Petty tune, because Dolly did a version of that. And I'm having a panic attack thinking about that day. But I realized, as we were saying before, the mistakes happen, universe intervenes, and you realize, oh, I make it through.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun comes up the next day, and life goes on.
Yeah.
And you've got a great story to tell on the radio.
I'm going to hit the pause button for anybody who is just joining us and wondering, what the heck are we talking about?
sorry.
We should explain, the group that you heard doing the ELO songs, that is one of the many great moments in vinyl groups that has been put together by our guest. And these are, as you say, not tributes. Well, let's go back to the very beginning.
Narrated concerts is the one we'd look
at. Where did you come up with this idea? And after you came up with the idea, how did it get to the point of, okay, we can actually try and do this thing?
Sure. Well, I mean, let me use a word I applied elsewhere in this conversation. It was desperation. I love music. I love doing creative things. What was I doing? I think I had just gotten downsized from WNUA, where I'd worked for a number of years doing smooth jazz stuff. I'm losing track of the chronology here. But I needed some stuff to do, and I started taking classes at the Old Town School of Folk Music, which is kind of a misnomer, because, you know, you think Old Town School of Folk Music, I don't want to learn the dulcimer, I don't want to learn the auto harp. But they had classes in Rolling Stones, or Billy Joel, or Joni Mitchell, or whomever. And you would sit down with the charts, you know, chords and words on a page, and you'd strum along, or in my case, play the bass. And we would learn those songs together and put on a little concert at a neighborhood bar. And so I'm sitting there listening to these instructors, people like Alton Smith and Richard Pettengill, who I've worked on consequently with many great moments in vinyl shows. But I would hear these instructors know this music so well, know the ins and outs and the subtle touches. I mean, you know, it's more than a C chord going on in that one. There may be some other riff or some counter melodies or back and forth between a couple of notes to embellish it. So I thought these guys were so good. And me at that point, what? You know, it's been 20, 30 years in radio. I like to talk about music. You know, it's my job is to sell the music when I'm an air announcer. When I'm on the air as a DJ, my job is to interface with the audience about the music, get them excited about it. And as you know, radio is not it's not the town crier speaking to the city. It's one-on-one. You're talking to that one person. And so tell a story to that person. And I thought, I could take some of these stories. If these guys, who are really good musicians, I'm an intermediate musician, you know. I mean, when I need a bass player, I've got Kevin Campbell I can hire, and some other people, Dan Engine Throne, because, you know, I can't do John Entwistle. I can't do, what was the fretless guy's name who played on Paul Simon's Graceland when we did that album? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, if I waited until I could play that stuff, you wouldn't, it'd be another 10 years before this band would happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, got me so excited. Where were we going with this?
But where did you get the idea of, okay, let's take an ELO album. We're going to do that album.
Yes.
And then we're going to explain the album. We're going to replicate the sound, and we're going to tell you stories about the people and the album. I mean, this is a wonderful concert. It's like concert concept.
It's that thing they used to have on MTV, behind the scenes.
Behind the music.
Yeah.
Behind the music. There you go.
Yeah.
And that's the same idea. You know, I go online and find little anecdotes about a band and what was going on. You cue me when you want an anecdote story. But I mean, I got the idea that I could do this. This is what I could bring to a group, and I get musicians to be the musical stars. You know, most people when they start a band is because, you know, I got songs I want to sing. No, I got stories I want to tell, and I want to support some other people in making that stuff come to life.
Do you ever have difficulty finding the musicians to bring to life a Jimi Hendrix night or a Dolly Parton?
No, as a matter of fact, you know, the songs, or I should say the shows grow organically.
Mm-hmm.
I would never have thought of doing Hendrix until a friend of mine, it might have been Richard Pettengill, who said, you got to check out Bill Grady. He plays some amazing guitar.
Oh.
And we've had him, Rokon had him on mm-hmm. WGN years ago. And mm-hmm. he's amazing as Jimi Hendrix. And we did a Stevie Ray Vaughan show at one point. Mm-hmm. And he plays great rhythm guitar. He was in the Paul Simon Graceland show, but just an amazing dude. And I'm surprised, you know, we're not seeing him on whatever the equivalent of MTV is yeah. these days. He's that good.
Yeah. Do you know off the top of your head how many different bands you have
roughly
tributed?
100 or so? It's been
really?
Over 150 shows
wow.
in
what?
The last 13 years. Roughly about 10 or 12 shows a year.
Holy and smokes.
I just can't keep my mouth shut. Someone says, hey, you want to do a show? I think, yeah! But you know, there's limitations. I work with really good musicians,
yeah.
so they're not available Saturday nights. You know, they're mm-hmm. doing wedding bands
oh,
for
right.
like $1,000 a piece, that
yeah.
sort of thing. I can't
yeah.
compete with those figures. But I get good people because I give them a chance to do something they don't normally get
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a chance to play that entire Jimi Hendrix album or mm-hmm. Peter Gabriel mm-hmm. album or whatever.
But as we've said many, many times on the show, we got the talent in Chicago.
We've yes,
got
we do.
We've got
yeah.
the people here. That,
absolutely.
Yeah, they got the chops. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. So the music that you hear during this hour, you're going to think you're listening to fill in the blanks, a band that you go, yeah, well, it's Great Moments in Vinyl. And this is his baby, his brainchild. So we'll come right back with Bill right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Love that. No, that is not Hendrix. That is Great Moments in Vinyl. You have to see a Great Moments in Vinyl concert performance. It is like nothing you've ever experienced.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Now, the dude doing Hendrix.
Bill Grady.
What a voice.
What a voice. He does a lot of soulful blues things.
Yeah. He's a Chicagoan?
Yes. He's one of those guys that, you know, has the Saturday night gigs. Usually.
Yeah.
I think he's quit from doing that and gone out more on his own. But he's just
wow.
really good. And
what you were listening to was recorded right here in this radio station.
Yeah.
I think he was 25 at the time.
Wow. So, Great Moments in Vinyl. You've got some shows coming up this summer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, the blatant plug light has just started flashing. So, what are the shows?
It'll blind
where
you,
and
Bill.
Where can people
okay.
see you?
Let me think this through here. Okay, first, next show. Great Moments in Vinyl pays tribute to the Doobie Brothers, so the Tom Johnston era and the Michael McDonald era. And that's coming up on Friday, June 19th. At the Lyric Theater in Blue Island. We've mm-hmm. done a couple of shows there. Our debut show there was Bruce Springsteen. We weren't doing albums by that point. It was just a Bruce Springsteen show.
Mm-hmm.
We sold the place out. Yeah!
Wow!
So,
yeah.
So now that hangs over our head for every show. And then a week later, Friday, June 26th, the Joliet Area Historical Museum, we are doing In Excess for the very first time.
Oh, that's good.
So I have no In Excess to play for you.
But, interesting.
You're talking about interesting chords and things like that. You know, a lot of In Excess is not a C chord. It's a C5 chord. We just
yeah.
play the 1 and the 5 or an E5. So that gives it a bigger open sound. But anyway, so I'm learning about that. I'm digging into stories about them. And one more story, show to mention. Working with the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights, paying tribute to Genesis, Phil Collins, and Peter Gabriel.
Wow.
Cool.
With an idea that we're going to do something fancy there and bring in a horn section so we can spice up, you know,
yeah.
Phil's version of Behind the Lines or Nowhere Ply at All or a Sledgehammer, that sort of thing. That's Sunday afternoon, August 23rd.
I want to take you back to the Doobie Brothers.
That
show's coming up at the Lyric Theater on June 19th. Who around here does a Michael McDonald sound? Because that's a very specific...
such a distinctive voice.
Yeah.
Well, but once again, you know, we honor the music, we respect it, but we're not trying to imitate it.
Exactly.
We
right.
find
yeah.
people who have the range, can sing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I saw a band up at Ravinia a couple of years ago, many years ago at this point, and they did an entire album. I don't want to name names, because, you know, I'm going to say something negative here. But, you know, I thought, I'm not listening to this group. I'm comparing this group.
Ah.
I'm seeing how mm-hmm. close they got to the record, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a weird show, because they didn't say anything. They'd finish the song, and they'd say, thank you. And then they go to the next song.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on.
So what you're doing differently is you're actually talking about what you're hearing and the...
What I'm doing differently is talking so that when the guitarists tune up, you're not just sitting there in your seat wondering what's going on. I mean, that's part of the inspiration there. It's like you kind of lose people if you don't keep things rolling.
Yeah.
And I give them something worth listening to, you know.
Do you have a core band that makes up great moments in vinyl?
It's evolved.
It's you.
Years.
You're the core.
Well, it started... Yeah, it's just me. And like I said... the musicians who have a passion for whatever that show is, like Bill Grady for the Jimi Hendrix show, or I work with a great pianist by the name of Greg Woods. It was David Bowie for me at first, but then he went on to be Billy Joel and Elton John.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he's champing at the bit for us to do Supertramp someday, and I'm trying to find a place to book us to do Supertramp and give him that shot he deserves.
Who is the artist or group that you would love to do and you just haven't been able to find the people to put that sound together yet?
Oh, man, I've already done that. I'd love to do it again. It was Paul Simon's Graceland album.
Really?
We had Greg Woods did a great job singing the Paul Simon stuff. I mean, once again, not imitating, but he could add a little New York accent to some of those songs, and that just made it, oh, my God, that does sound like Paul. And once again, I had Kevin Campbell, the guy who could play the fretless bass on the Graceland stuff. And then Greg had worked with a vocal ensemble that I don't think is together anymore. But Eric Trevon is one of the musicians I worked with there. And I forget her first name, Erica Nwachukwu. But it was an African-American vocal ensemble. So I hired three of them to kind of be my Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Oh.
And they were the backing choir for that. And I had a horn section. You know, this is back in the days when I was really ambitious, you know. But it was great. It was a magical night. And, you know, if you want to send your producer off to the website, he can find a video that was made with the soundboard recording of that show.
Mm-hmm.
And just to hear them do, what's the a song that opens Graceland with the accordion? Boy in the Bubble.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, to hear them do that, or hear them, "You Can Call Me Al." Yeah. You know, it was just a great show. I'd love to bring that one back.
Who do you get to do your charts?
Well, they're not charts. I mean, they're they're basic.
Right.
But I was a wannabe music major. Highly influential in my life was a thing that Chicago, the band, used to put out called Sketch Scores. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back in the days when I was in high school, you could buy piano music for just about anything.
Yeah.
But Chicago had these sketch scores, and they might have a line that shows what the trumpet and the trombone were doing, or they might have a line showing what the bass, what Peter Cetera was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of taught me about music, and working with those figured out, you know, what the difference between a C major seventh and a C minor ninth are, you know, and how all this fits together. And I play that stuff on piano. And I put the charts together. To answer your question, I'll sit down and I'll dig one up on the computer. I get all the lyrics from some website and then map them out. And I put the first syllable at the beginning of each line so people know where they're supposed to hit one. And I put off to the right, left-hand side, where you have the video cues and a video script, I'll have the chord changes. And I figured out inventive ways to map out, okay, this one is on beat four instead of beat three, and you know, this sort of stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You could see my face. I'm like, holy smokes, this is a big undertaking.
It is. Oh, my God.
I mean, you make a decision.
Help me stop. we have a saying, my drummer Jim Barclay and I, every time we call each other, the first thing we say is, never start a band. Because, you know, there's all the planning, but oh my God, it's hurting kittens.
Well, this is so much more. Hurting kittens.
Hurting kittens to try to get all the musicians to A, answer your email about a rehearsal, and B, to agree on a rehearsal. You know,
but rehearsing, because this is a huge undertaking.
These
though.
Are good guys and women too. I mean, they deliver, but it's just that they're busy. That's why it's hard to line things up. It's like, you know, I've already got something that night.
So. Wow. So that's why you can catch great moments in vinyl on Friday nights.
Friday and Sunday afternoons and nights.
Yeah, we've locked the doors. He's here for a while. We're going to tell you more about great moments in vinyl right here in Chicago on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And one of the things that knocks me out is the performers you're hearing were not trying to emulate Paul McCartney, John Lennon. But again, I go back to the scoring boy, you had the violins, that those parts were just...
Well, there's a book that's about this thick called The Complete Beatles, and it's scores for everything. So that was a piece of cake, just had to renotate it. But yes, I try to find that stuff that gives people that... they talk about the wow factor. You know, that moment in each show, you say, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Bill Grady playing guitar in the Jimi Hendrix show or a Stevie Ray Vaughan show. That's like, oh, my God. And doing the Motown show, and we're going into Papa Was a Rolling Stone. I got the three string players doing high strings and the trumpet player doing that jazzy trumpet thing. And
what's the largest group you've ever
probably
had?
Van Morrison. Well, no, I tell a lie. We did Van Morrison. We had a three-piece string section, a couple of brass players, a vibraphonist, and a five-piece band, I think. But I think maybe the Motown show, that might have been 13 people on stage.
Wow.
Three strings. I played trombone in that. I hired a great guy.
Wait a minute. You play trombone?
Yeah, when I'm not playing keyboards or flute.
Okay, fine.
I played trombone for the Doobie Brothers because I'm a intermediate bass player, but the guy who plays bass with the Doobie Brothers, Tyron Porter, the dude is like a guitar picker, you know, he's all over doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once again, it would be a couple more years if I was going to play bass before we do a Doobie Brothers show. Let me just hire a guy because I have no pride about that. It's like, I want to do the show. That's what's important. Do the best we can with the show. And
Are there ever times when you get into the middle of a show, and again, the group is Great Moments and Vinyl, you have to go see them.
Oh, yeah, thanks for playing that Beatle clip. Phil Angotti is an amazing singer. I loved hearing him.
So that's him singing lead on that.
Phil Angotti singing in a string section I put together.
Sweet.
But are there ever times when you're in the middle of a show, and you want every show to be special, but when you kind of realize, you know, this one is really cooking?
Actually, no, it's at the rehearsals.
Really?
Well, I just hear the band play, and I think, oh, God, yeah, we got it for this one.
Huh.
You know, they pulled the stuff together, and I know there will be something that will impress the crowd and make me happy. I mean, Steve, I still go home kicking myself. You know, it's like, oh, why did I hit that wrong chord? You know, that kind of stuff at the end of the day. But that's just me being a perfectionist.
So coming up, you've got a show on June 19th. Great Moments in Vinyl plays the Doobie Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Actually, two shows, 7:30 p.m. and 9:45 p.m.
What? No, that's it goes to.
It goes until 9:45.
Oh,
7:30
all right.
Till 9:45.
glad you clarified.
Yes. And that's at the Lyric Theater. And again, that's Friday night, June 19th. So your role in that is what? In the Doobie Brothers show?
I'll be telling stories and playing trombone. Want to hear a Doobie Brothers story?
Yeah, tell us a Doobie Brothers story.
Get back to my... I prepared ahead of time. I have 48 stories here.
So you're kind of the...
Well, you tell stories in every show, right?
Absolutely.
So you kind of weave everything together.
I try to
from
do
the
it.
Stage.
Yeah, so you get a sense of the band. You get a sense of what they went through. You get a sense of the trials and tribulations and the foolishness, as well as the amazing things that occurred, the coincidences, the dumb luck. And I try to bring it all together in with the music. Back in 1971... Tom Johnston got a piece of mail that was going to change his life. It was his draft notice. And because he dropped out of college and didn't finish his final semester, he was now eligible to ship off to serve his country in Vietnam. Tom knew plenty of guys from high school who'd been sent overseas and didn't come back, or they came back with physical disabilities or mental ones. What's more, Tom and three of his musical buddies had just recorded their first album for a major record label, and the future had seemed so bright. Until that letter arrived. Tom reported to the Oakland Induction Center as instructed. He passed the physical, he passed the mental test, and just before he got on the bus to Fort Ord in Monterey, he sat down for one final review with an Army doctor. The man had noticed some large bumps in each of Tom's wrists, lumps that Tom hadn't noticed before. The doctor asked him some questions and consulted a field manual, and then declared that those bumps were ganglion cysts, and that they would prevent him from being able to operate a firearm properly. And with that, the doctor declared him 4F. Tom said, "My jaw almost hit the floor. I couldn't believe that I'd gone from heading to boot camp and on to Nam to being declared unfit for service in about 5 minutes. And the craziest thing about all this," Tom would one day tell his biographer, "was that the ganglions were from playing guitar so much that they started to swell. Call it divine intervention or dumb luck or whatever, Playing guitar had just saved my life and my future in the Doobie Brothers.
Okay,
with that, we go into the first song of the night.
I got goosebumps. I've never heard that story.
So I just dig around to find that stuff. And, and it leads into the songs a lot of times. Like we start off with rocking Down the Highway at the Doobie Show. But then you'll hear about some of the things that Michael McDonald got into, you know, involving cocaine.
So the Doobie Show is pre-Michael McDonald.
No, it's all the whole era. Hey, you see the visual, the
In
graphic.
In 2 hours, you do the whole era. The history of the Doobie Brothers.
We shoot high.
Yeah.
But if you look at the poster for it, it says Doobies up the top with two motorcycle tires for the O's, and then for the brothers, it's a yacht rock sailing wheel.
Oh.
Anyway.
Wow.
Subtleness.
Have you ever heard from any of the musicians that you... And you know what I mean when I say pay tribute, too, because you're not a tribute band.
We had a Regina Spektor show that we were doing, and we had it posted on Facebook. Somehow she got wind of it and started tweeting it to her fans on Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was at the time. And she kind of jumped in and gave us some support.
Well, so that's fun, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, you want to... want to lay low, you know. Led Zeppelin was famous for suing bars that weren't paying their ASCAP things and closing them down, you know.
Yeah.
Some bar out in Denver gets a $60,000 fine, and they're not going to be in business long. So, you know, we try to stay under the radar as best we can. So,
but you want the people to know what you're doing, so they'll come out to the show.
So we haven't done Led Zeppelin in a while, I'll say that.
Did you ever do Zeppelin?
Yeah, we did five or six shows. I think we did albums like 2 and 4, and then we did 1 and 3, and then we did 1 and 2, and then we did Physical Graffiti, and opened a big... played for 2,000 people at Joliet at the prison one summer, and did the second album. Started off with A Whole Lot of Love. We had our little Thurman.
Of course you did.
Thurman apps.
Yeah.
We didn't actually have the Thurman. Mm-hmm. We had the apps. You go, you know, in the middle section there.
Yeah.
This is such a great concept.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard of anybody else in the country doing this kind of thing? Because I sure haven't.
I can't remember. I think it was an ELO show when we were putting that one together and was researching it. It happened on some orchestra in San Diego or something like that was doing something similar where they had some stories that went along with it. But, you know, I mean, not everyone has the patience to sit and read stuff and figure, oh, that would be a great story, and how can I write it so that it is, you know, and keep it down to something deliverable from the stage. It's not going to lose the audience. But, you know, I've just developed a feel for it over the years. You realize what's going to work. And Ira Glass used to talk about, he loved David Sedaris because David had these stories could be told in 45-second chunks. And for Ira, that was the magical length of a segment. So.
And Ira was known also to edit out any breath.
Yes.
So you could squeeze even more words into those 45 seconds.
Well, when you're under those time constraints, you do figure out those kind of things.
Yeah.
We're going to edit out some breaths.
Yes, the band is Great Moments in Vinyl, and I've shared the website with a number of our listeners, so go to greatmomentsinvinyl.com, and this is the guy behind Great Moments in Vinyl. Here's some more music with Bill. Stay with us on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. You're listening to Great Moments in Vinyl, a tribute they did to the Police.
That's good stuff,
too.
On paper, I would say, oh, no, you don't want to go there. That's going to be too difficult. And then I heard this. I went, wow.
And it's just what you said. They had the feel.
That was it.
We played that one at the venue and at Space in Evanston, our debut at Space.
Mm-hmm.
We were excited about that.
Well, Don from Lincoln Square says, I've been lucky to see Great Moments in Vinyl several times at the Edgewater Artist in Motion.
Oh, yeah.
We hosted a special fundraiser with them. Best of the shows is the background info that you provide. It's just so wonderful.
Thank you. Oh my God.
So that is a nice... Thank you, Dom, for taking the time to drop by Don. Here.
Oh, my gosh. You guys. Who does that? Guys.
Yeah, a listener wants to know if you've done Chicago bands, because you mentioned Chicago the band, but what about Chicago bands?
As a theme?
As a theme.
No, we did a British Invasion show. We've
done
fun. Hits of 74, 75. We're going to do Hits of 76 this year. Chicago bands is possible. Once again, if I can... draw enough of a crowd mm-hmm. that I know I can pay the band. I mean, let me tell you, I've floated many of these shows because I believe in it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting to the point, I'm tired of doing that. And so I really want a good crowd to help fund that. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky to play some places that will offer a fee rather than a cut of the door.
Oh.
I used to play in Chicago, and I just couldn't draw enough crowd after the pandemic to make yeah. it worthwhile. So,
so what did you do during the pandemic? You
video stuff.
Really?
A guy I work with by the name of Scott Tipping, amazing guitarist. He was my Jimmy Page for a couple of shows, and some other things that I've done. But ZZ Top, he was Billy Gibbons when we did ZZ Top. But anyway, he and his partner at that time. Secluded at home. What's the word when you're quarantined?
Quarantined.
Yeah.
Isolated.
Mm-hmm. Sheltered. Yeah.
Going crazy.
Sheltered at home. Anyway, they did the Robert Plant, Alison Krauss album. So I posted that during the pandemic. And then I went to Phil Angotti, and he did a Beatles single, A and B side for me mm-hmm. online. So just people just playing guitars in their homes and me telling stories about it. A guy, wonderful musician by the name of Packy Lundholm, who used to produce musicians here in Chicago. He's working now in Nashville and touring the world with, I'm blanking out on the musician he works with, but suffice it to say, he did Dave Mason, a couple of songs from the Alone Together album.
Dave Mason.
So I just, once again, it's finding the people who have the passion for doing that project. And
so you pulled In Excess together, because I'm very intrigued by this.
I want to do In Excess. Well, Juliet
and we were sharing a story about In Excess and Michael Hutchins, and I'll briefly share some of it again. Johnny, as a lot of you know, too long a time had to deal with anosmia, which is a complete loss of taste and smell. And you dealt with it for roughly a year and a half till we found a wonderful
acupuncturist.
Yeah, but he's more than that.
He's magic.
And he and the short story is he was able to look at Johnny, believe me, look at Johnny, see what the problem was, put the pins in the right places. And after the first time, after a year and a half of her not tasting or smelling anything, she came out. We were both in tears.
Oh,
and so was he, because I was the first person he had treated for anosmia. So what that has to do with Michael Hutchins, we understand that, sadly, he died by suicide, and it was partly due to the fact that his life was just gray because he had no taste and smell. And for people who experienced that during COVID, you can relate. It really, mm-hmm. as I described it, sunsets are suddenly all gray.
Yeah.
Nothing is exciting anymore. So the music of In Excess really spoke to me because, you know, I was just so moved by his story, too. And so you've got their music coming up at the Joliet Area Historical
Museum. And for a very good reason, because the guy who books us there is an In Excess fan.
Oh.
We've done, I don't know, 13, 14 shows at the Joliet Area Historical Museum. Many of them sell out. And I just turned to him one time and said, "What's your favorite band, Mike?" And he said, "Oh, I'd love it if you did In Excess."
Really?
And I said, "Do you have a favorite song?" And he told me. And so it's going to be part of the show.
That's wonderful. I'm not familiar with the Historical Museum. There are places to sit?
It's on Route 66. Because old Route 66.
Isn't it just like a block and a half or something away from the Rialto Square? Because we were just at the Rialto Square a couple months ago.
Yeah. We've played there. We did our Woodstock show there.
So at the museum, can you sit? I mean,
Oh, my gosh. They've got a wonderful terrace upstairs with little Christmas lights hanging down. And it's covered. And we love playing there in the summer.
Wow.
If you go to their website, I think there's a concerts page or something like that, and it's a shot from behind my band with Greg Woods. I think it was a Billy Joel show or a Fleetwood Mac show, and you can just see it. It's just a wonderful setting. And then they have an indoor stage in the basement, which mm-hmm. reminds me of Fellowship Hall in my old church years ago. But anyway, we have plenty of places to play there, plenty of places to sit, and they have a bar.
And you have a map on the Great Moments in Vinyl page, so people who are saying, "Well, I've never been to that part of Joliet," the map is there on the page,
right.
So you can click and find out how to get there. Do you recommend that people buy tickets in advance, buy them at the door? How does that work?
Definitely in advance. I mean, if there's tickets available, you can still get them at the door, but some of these shows do sell out. Now, In Excess probably won't sell like ELO sold, or what was another one we did there? That Chicago, I think we did. And it sold out 3 months in advance.
Wow.
You know, so sometimes you do.
Doesn't
have to,
that say a lot about the fact that we want to see live music, but sadly, so often it's just priced out of our realm.
If you live in Joliet, you're not going to drive to Ravinia to see Chicago, I don't think.
Well,
so.
But I'm thinking about the Springsteen concert. You know, I had friends that said, I'd give anything to see Springsteen in concert, but you do hundreds of dollars. I just can't swing that. Or, you know, Tom Jones at Ravinia, a couple hundred bucks. Ravinia is a wonderful place to see it, but, you know, a couple hundred bucks, I'm not so sure. Right?
I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah. Well, you're not charging hundreds of dollars for tickets.
I mean,
so
I like watching videos, video concerts, because you get a better shot of the band and the faces and stuff rather than being out in the audience.
But that's one of the reasons we like, and we've talked about this a lot. Chicago has some of the best listening venues.
Yes.
In the
That's what we are.
Space in Evanston, a classic example.
Favorites.
We love that.
We're a listening room band. We're not a bar band anymore. You come to listen. You come to be quiet and to hear what's going on. You're not there to drink
and hear
talk
your stories,
exactly.
The backstory.
And a lot of places, you know, we played Space, and they listened. You know, it was quiet when I was talking. And I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I got something for you.
Yeah.
It's National Celiac Month.
It is. We've been
so here's my
acknowledging
recipe
it.
For cinnamon bun muffins made with almond flour.
Oh, nice. Look at you.
My kidney doctor turned me on to some new things to eat. Not specifically that. We basically said, don't eat beige food. So no more rice, no more pasta, cut down on the bread, that sort of stuff. And I started baking stuff with almond flour. Yeah. I still make apple pancakes, but it's like half almond flour, half flour.
Well, that's
flour.
Wonderful. I
but
will
it's
this.
Great. It's got like cinnamon bun filling with honey and pecans and cinnamon.
Because every Saturday night in the month of May, I've been doing a gluten-free recipe.
Well, I wanted to share one with
that's
you.
That's awesome. I'll even post your recipe, too.
I was
too.
Listening to your podcast.
Thank you. So, coming up, listeners who are musicians, because we've heard from musicians, can they get in touch with you through the Great Moments in Vinyl and say, hey, you know, I'm out here, too. And
I've got 8 more shows coming up this year, and I've already
8 more this year.
Yeah, so we've got the Doobie Brothers, INXS, Genesis, and then there's another version of the ELO show coming to the Joliet Theater later this year. There's Doobie Brothers at the Venue later this year, and then I was Joliet wants to do a Christmas show, which we're also going to take to the Bolingbrook Promenade.
And what will your Christmas show be?
All sorts of stuff that fits the season. From very like we last year or 2 years ago we did it. I hired a trumpet player and a sax player so we could do the Wynton Marsalis version of Linus and Lucy. But we also opened up with Most Wonderful Time of the Year, the Andy Williams tune.
Mm-hmm.
I think we squeezed a Roaches song in there. Springsteen as a sax player, so we did Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The Waitresses, Christmas Wrapping. Bob Dylan's It Must Be Santa. We did Feliz Navidad, so help me God, that one went on forever. verse, chorus, you know, next, if we ever do that one again, it'll be an intro to something. But yeah, so, you know, it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's the gamut.
Will you come back in December and let's do a Christmas thing on the radio?
I can bring musicians, you know, because that stuff
awesome.
Is, what do you call it, a public domain.
And it's all over the map, too.
Yes.
If you don't like this one, stick around. You're going to like the next one.
That's what
we
tried to do. You know, it wasn't just rock stuff. It was it was some country stuff. It was some jazzy things. There was a Brian Culbertson, famous smooth jazz artist from WNUA days, did a great funky version of Jingle Bells. So we did that. You know, I mean, just mix it up.
You are in
just promise me no Mariah Carey.
No.
You know, I could find someone to sing Mariah Carey. We did Hits of 75, is it? Or maybe it was 74, but Lindsay Weinberg, wonderful singer in Chicago. I didn't work with her at the Old Town School of Folk Music, but she sung some shows with us, and she sang The Way We Were.
Mm.
You know, not everyone's going to tackle a Barbara Streisand tune, but she...
That's awesome.
And when she was done saying, you know, singing, I turned to the crowd. Bet you didn't know she could do that.
You are definitely in your element. And
fun.
Folks can follow you and what Great Moments in Vinyl are up to at the website, Great Moments in Vinyl. We've linked them on our Facebook page, so you can just click right through there. And the next show coming up is Friday, June 19th at the Lyric Theater in Blue Island. Great Moments in Vinyl plays the Doobie Brothers, and then Great Moments in Vinyl plays In Excess on Friday, June 26th at the Joliet Area Historical Museum.
And we're only going to let you out of here if you promise you're going to come back.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a real treat.
This has been fun.
Yeah. And to finally meet you, too, Bill. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been in Chicago about as long
decades.
As each other.
Yeah. We know all the same people, and we finally met each other. Yes. Again, greatmomentsinvinyl.com. That's where you can find more information. News is next here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And guess what? It's time for some shout-outs.
Yep.
And I want to start by thanking some of the people who are nice enough to check out our blog. And if you haven't done that, boy, we would appreciate it if you would. Our blog is located at steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And we'd love it if you would subscribe. There's no cost. We don't spam you. We don't sell your addresses or anything. You just get an email anytime we do a new post on our blog. And we're constantly amazed at some of the people who are nice enough to check out our blog from around the world. So this week's top 10, boys and girls, we start with the United States. Nice to know that we're getting out to the United States. Number two is Hong Kong, SAR, China. Number three is Singapore. Number four is Germany. Number five, Belgium. Number six, Canada.
Oh, Canada for the first time.
No, Canada, they've been in
really?
There a couple weeks ago. Number seven, Italy. Number
Italy?
Eight, yep. Number nine, France. I'm sorry, number eight, France, number nine, Sweden, and number 10 is India. So
Wow. Thank
you to all those countries and to some people who wrote some notes. Hi, guys. I'll be listening in Sandwich on my phone, as usual, on a beautiful night. That's Debbie Tusick. Thank you, Debbie. And Jeden Jacobson says, I will be listening from Milwaukee on my Sea Crane radio and earphones. And Robin Banks says, just listening south of the Trollway. In Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. And she said, oh, by the way, and she sent a link to the Mad Gluten Free Fest 2026, which is Sunday, June 7th at Brees Stevens Field in Madison.
Oh, yeah. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I want to say howdy to Sherry Hanrahan, who rushed home from dinner out with friends so she could be there. In fact, she was the first one to sign in tonight. And you can always sign in to just communicate with us via text at 312-981-7200. We are the ones that read the text, and we are the ones that respond to you. In fact, George Clemens, who listens to us in Augusta, Georgia, he's here every Saturday night. He did a billboard for us. It looks just like a billboard you'd see on the side of the highway, and the billboard is the Steve and Johnny Show billboard. Thank you for doing that.
I love that.
George. Rob and Amy are listening in Whiting, Indiana. Mike is in Elmwood Park. Bing Besh is in Winfield.
Bing Besh.
Yes, Bing Besh. Jim is tuned in from Richmond. Also tonight, let's see, Jan is in Sugar Grove. A listener was telling us at the top of the show, we were talking about the movie Back Room, and I said, it's number one at the box office, and I don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And a listener says, from 708, that apparently the person behind that movie is 20 years old.
Really?
I'm like, I got to do some research on this.
Yeah, because until you mentioned it to me today, it wasn't on my radar.
I am absolutely out of the loop when it comes to that. So thank you for that information. Also, I mentioned earlier tonight that we've got the tour group from Chicago listening in Florence, Italy. And that's George. He was our last caller last week, and he was calling us from the island of Capri. But this week, for just one more day, they are hanging out in Florence, Italy. Miriam is in Seneca. Dave is in Chicago. J.W. and Dolly are listening in Chesapeake tonight. Mike is in Akron. Scott's in Pierre, South Dakota. Let's see here. We've got Tom tuned in, and a number of people were checking in that they have seen great moments in vinyl. Our guest last hour, William Lindsay Cochran, Bill Cochran. That's his baby, his passion. And a lot of folks are either fans or looking forward to seeing a great moments in vinyl.
I just think it is such an incredible concept. I love that.
It blows my mind, though. I don't. Yeah. In fact, as he was talking, I found myself like gaping at him, like, how do you pull something like this together?
And what I loved about it, if you listen to some of the clips we played, like the Police, it had the feel of the Police.
Oh, yeah.
And the strings on some of the Beatles songs and the ELO songs, the musicianship involved is just wonderful.
Reinforcing what we say every time we have live music in the studio, we are so fortunate to have the talent that we have here. They haven't moved to L.A. They haven't moved to New York. They stayed here because they have places to perform and they're respected. And they have a great fan base.
Yeah.
So we're very fortunate. Stacy Drager is listening in Algonquin. It was a gorgeous drive in to the radio station tonight. The skies looked like watercolor skies. They were just so beautiful. And at one point, as we pulled onto Lakeshore Drive, it looked like we were by ourselves.
And you took some great pictures. Now, those are up on our Facebook page.
Put a whole bunch of pictures up there, and a lot of folks are responding, like Brian Lefevre said, the city beautiful, showing it off. And like me, Brian is loving that one house on Bryn Mawr, that corner place with the round living room. And I hope someday someone who lives in that three-story building will see my picture, because every week I post that building because I want to go inside that place. I want to see that living room. First floor has gorgeous plants, but I want to see how they place their couch in a round living room. And that's right down the street from the restaurant that I featured tonight. I should go back and put the name of it, Mary's Hamburgers. And our producer, Jeff, you live in Andersonville.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mary's Hamburgers in Andersonville?
Hamburger Mary's, yes. It
Hamburger
used to
Mary's.
Be Balmoral and Clark.
Right by last week's guest, Deflowered Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So now... Hamburger Mary, that's what it is.
Hamburger Mary's, they closed during the pandemic, and then they reopened just last year in Bryn Mawr.
Yeah, it's a lovely place. If you haven't seen my pictures yet, the building is beautiful.
Oh, it is a gorgeous Art Deco, yeah.
Very Art Deco. Peter Jacobowitz says, such a beautiful night for pictures, and you took full advantage. I think I did, because I took some different views, some different shots. I was able to actually...
get some pictures of some of the boats that you normally can't get.
Because I get so frustrated, because back in the day, I had an LG flip phone, and the screen was 1 inch by 1 inch. I'm not kidding you. But I could look out the side window in the car, and I could get fabulous pictures of sunrises and boats on the water, and we'd be driving at 45, 50 miles an hour. And as cameras became more sophisticated, I find that it just doesn't
want
to
work. But you said tonight, and I wonder if it's true, we were driving a different vehicle tonight, and it's a little higher up.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that made a difference.
But you know, every Saturday night I sputter and grumble about the fact that
Was that you? I thought that was an engine noise.
It was an engine noise, and then me. But I try to take those pictures out the side window, because there's some wonderful shots of the boats in the harbor and such, and I go, oh, I need my little LG phone from back in the day when phones were new and 1 inch screen on that phone. Gail Maslin is listening in Tinley Park. Diane Vasquez, who's a great listener and our graphics guru, she's tuned in Northwest Indiana, a fellow Sox fan. And we've had a lot to be happy about.
Boy, did we.
The month of May has been outstanding. Didn't we hear that this has been the best month of May since 2023?
Yeah, and I think their first complete winning month in I don't know how long.
Yeah, it's a very impressive month. Margo Moore's in Albuquerque. Sue Ellen Jarrell is in Chicago. Linda Moeller, Linda McCann, William Zeneker tuned in and likes our picture. Sandy Petty, Nancy Hollins, Terry Anderson, also in Chicago, always the ambassador for Chicago. Roy Phillips is listening on trying on the AM radio. Otherwise, he'll have to go to his app, but he's trying with the old-fashioned radio. Carrie Johnson tuned in. Greg Lloyd is listening. Traffic seemed to be a bit light this evening. Based on our pictures, it was kind of eerie. Because a couple of the shots, there was no one but us out there. Bonnie Pearson, George Mostis. I mentioned George. He's listening in Florence, Italy. Don Selke, listening from Arizona. We'll take a break and come back, and I'll finish up our shout-outs. And, again, you can get to us at 312-981-7200. In fact, Debbie does Dallas, Texas. She just checked in. More coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio doing some shout-outs to some of the people that are nice enough to check in from all over the planet. And have you seen Eric Baum's picture?
Yes.
This is so cool.
It doesn't look real.
He says, after 50 years, 13 friends from Valparaiso University reunited for a Toxane River cruise from Paris to Normandy. Mm. Pictured is the breathtaking Monet Garden in Giverny, France. And he said he will be listening from Wells Beach, Maine on the WGN app. But and you can go to our Facebook page. And you can see this picture. It's just
beautiful.
A gorgeous picture.
As we say every week when he posts a picture from Wells Beach, Maine, that it should be a part of the Board of Tourism because his pictures are so great. Last week, he posted a picture of the Eiffel Tower. It didn't look real. It was so gorgeous. So, again, thank you for sharing your trip. As one of our listeners said, boy, that sounds like a dream of a trip with your buddies. Chuck Snitchler, the best friend of this radio show and this radio station, is tuned in from the Vale of Paradise. That would be Valparaiso. And, Chuck, thank you for listening, as always. Linda Moeller is in the Oklahoma Panhandle, and Linda had a gluten question. She said, I noticed a gluten-free label on a bag of Lay's brand potato chips. Mm-hmm. Are some potato chips not gluten-free?
Sadly, that's true.
Very true, as I responded to her. Especially if you're getting a potato chip that has some kind of coating on it. You have to be very, very careful. We mentioned last week that Lay's that come in the can that look like Pringles cans, the blue plastic can, those, even though they've got a coating for onion and cheese, those are safe. They're labeled gluten-free.
Yeah.
But you can find some other brands, and you pick it up, and they're not labeled.
So. But always check the label. And most potato chips that are gluten-free, they have the gluten-free displayed pretty prominently on the packaging.
Because it's important. I answered a question for a listener the other day. She said, dairy products are okay, though, aren't they? Well, no. We have been told, and again, this was 25 years ago when you were first diagnosed. Mm-hmm. I don't think things have changed, but if you're on the gluten-free diet, you do not want to eat low-fat or fat-free, because to give you that mouth sensation of fat, oftentimes there's an additive that could, in fact, be wheat.
Right.
So you just want to go full fat all the way.
And depending on your sensitivity, and I'm really getting into minutiae here, some people may have to change their shampoo. Mm-hmm. They may have to change their shaving cream, because if you look in the small print on the ingredients in shaving cream and shampoo, you'll be amazed at the amount of times you find the word wheat. So depending on your sensitivity and if your skin absorbs this and causes a negative reaction, you may need to pay attention to that too.
And if someone poo-poos that idea, just walk away, because it's your body. You know how you're reacting. And if it's something that you cannot tolerate, then you probably want to be careful about even rubbing it on your body or on your scalp.
And reality is, we are all different chemical laboratories. What impacts me may not impact you, and vice versa.
Kevin is checking in from Normal. Also tonight, Dan Lewandowski is back in Chicago, far, far, far southwest suburbs of Wichita Falls. And, Austin, Texas is checking in Wheeling now, but from Austin, Texas. Tom and all the people in Tinley Park are loving the show tonight. Well, thank you, Tom, for getting the word out in Tinley Park. Peter Jakubowicz is listening from Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, listening on his CC Radio 2E. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Again, that Eric Baum picture, I just rolled by it. It's gorgeous. Jim Smith tuned in. Allison Sturzinger is listening. She's regularly tunes in. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Barb Larkin, South Milwaukee. Marie Weiss, blessed to be out of the hospital and listening from home. Well, Marie, I'm glad you're out of the hospital.
Yeah.
I'm glad we could keep you company. Mark Goldstein is in Owings Mills, Maryland.
The home of Motor Week Television and our friend John Davis.
Chuck Gorsuch is in West Burlington, Iowa. Todd Moe is in God's Country, Door County, Egg Harbor. You will get no argument from us. And Steve?
This would be a great time of the year to be up there.
Any time of the year. I tell you, I want to go sometime when it's snowing.
It's been too long since we've been up in Door County.
I want to be locked in a lodge someplace by a fireplace drinking cocoa with big marshmallows in it.
What was that great place that we first started staying at when we went up to Door County? And
it's not
sadly
there anymore.
It closed down.
Yeah, not there anymore.
Because in their lobby, they had a big fireplace.
Yeah. Didn't we glance up at the screen, or did I imagine that there was snow in Massachusetts today?
Yeah, there was on the Channel 9 newscast. They did a thing about the snow in Massachusetts. Huh? Why? Yeah.
Okay. That's like, well, anyway, I literally glanced up and I thought, what are they doing, an almanac from January? It wasn't like deep snow, but it was actually snowing. Christian Moberg is in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. Kathy Abnar is listening in Peoria. Jackie Spores is in Milton, Wisconsin. Susan Schemmels in Glen Ellen. Tom Appel tuned in, Steve.
He's
getting all fired up for his segment at midnight. J.P. John Paul, looking forward to Tom's tunes. He's a big fan. Patrice Tintere is listening from Northwest Indiana. Debbie Hardiman in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Carrie Johnson, Palm Coast, Florida. Larry Manna, Miami, Florida. Roger Camp in Athens, Ohio. Scott Cooper in Naperville. Nancy Hollins in Northbrook. Donna Youngheim in Oak Lawn. Laura Lampke in The Villages in Florida, formerly from Schaumburg. Florida's well represented tonight.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. But, you know, people in Panama City Beach, you got to start tuning in. We're your people. Come on. Ellen Maria is listening. Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee. Donnie Pearson in Grays Lake. Actually, that would be Bonnie Pearson. Joan Smith in Holland, Michigan. Helen Thomas in Kenosha. Robin Aiken in Port Charlotte, Florida. Carrie Hunt in Ruskin, Florida. Priscilla Gilbert Stegg in Joliet. Nancy Coratobi in Lake Geneva. Kim Cavaliero Keller in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Wisconsin also showing off today. Got a whole bunch of folks from Wisconsin. And if I missed you, I'll get you next week, I promise. And we might mention that next week we will be preempted.
Yeah, we're not sure what time we're going to get on next week because of the Stanley Cup Finals. Our best guess is somewhere maybe 10:30-ish.
Yes.
Watch
this
space.
Game time is 7 o'clock.
And it depends on what kind of
a post-game
they do, and if it goes into extra period or something.
If it goes into overtime, yeah. We do plan on talking to the author of a cookbook, a guy that I think I first talked to decades ago, probably 40 years ago, when he came out with Copycat Recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first one that was going out to fast food restaurants and eating the food and then going home and coming up with the recipes so you, too, could make sliders at home.
His name is Todd Wilbur.
Yep, and he's got a brand new cookbook out, a gorgeous cookbook.
And also next week we will have our resident computer guru, Dr. Patrick Crispin, and we may have a pretty cool Chicago blues artist, Denise LaGrassa. But again, a lot of this is subject to change depending on what happens with the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yep,
but we'll let you know. So stick around and we'll all find out together. Right now we're going to break for news. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That was a dealer's choice. Jeff, who is that and what is that?
That is Jacob Dylan and Jade Petrino. They recorded that here in our studios in 2018 for the movies Echo in the Canyon. They did they were doing a promotional tour, and we just happened to snag them to come in, and I begged and pleaded and said, I'd make it super easy if you guys could perform a couple of songs.
Very cool.
And they did that, and the great Matt Malone engineered it.
It was love
one of my favorite recordings we've ever did.
I love that song.
That's
too.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Really
cool. Yeah.
That we're going to jump back to the newsroom for a second because, Ron, you read a Bears story that not the kind of thing that Bears fans want to hear at the moment, but could you repeat that?
Yeah, because, it's kind of surprising. And they're, like I said, they're burning the midnight oil out mm-hmm. there in Springfield. And we thought that, maybe something by tomorrow night at midnight, we would have something about the mega projects bill. But now they're saying there's more up in the air and more being talked about. State Senator Bill Cunningham said that legislators were still hammering out alternative economic incentives to keep the Bears from leaving and also put Chicago back in the mix to compete for a stadium. Everybody thought that was,
I thought the Bears have said several times, no, we're really, really, really leaving Chicago.
They have said that several times. They put it in writing. They said there's only two alternatives, Hammond or Arlington Heights. And remember, Mayor Johnson said, we're still trying to keep them in Chicago.
Yeah.
And people were saying, what's he talking about? It's already a done. That ship has sailed. It's not going to happen. But now, State Senator Bill Cunningham says that legislators are still hammering out incentives, but we don't know what those incentives are or how Chicago could return to the table. So it's still up in the air, but we just know that it's not going to happen tonight. So tomorrow is the final day for the session.
Till midnight tomorrow night?
Till midnight tomorrow night. I'll be. I don't know where you'll be. I know where I will be. I'll be right here. I mean, it's just more, speculation that we're going to have tomorrow. We're going to have to get more information from the legislators tomorrow after they wake up from a short nap, I guess, is what they'll be. And talk more to the Bears, talk more to Mayor Johnson. So we will have more details as they become available. This comes from the Chicago Sun-Times, by the way, that what has happened with the Bears' plans or the mega bill is that it's stalled tonight.
Well, now, obviously, I know nothing, but from what I have read, if they do a new stadium, a ton of money to that new stadium would come from the NFL. If they decide to stay in Chicago and do something with Soldier Field, I don't know that the NFL is contributing anything to that process. So,
like I said, I'm so checked out on it. I thought that ship had sailed as far as keeping it in Chicago. It's like that's just not an alternative. It's a pipe dream. They've said they bought the property in Arlington Heights. It's either there and then maybe just as a bargaining chip, a negotiating tool, they started talking about leaving Hammond, Indiana. That doesn't really look viable either. I don't think. So it's all about just trying to get these economic incentives. But according to this report, everything's on the table right now, and it's going to go down to the final wire. So the session wraps up at midnight. We may have news at 11:55, 11:56, something like that.
But I bring that up because I would assume that if it is true that a new stadium would generate tons of money from the NFL, that might be one of the reasons why they're trying to overturn more places to get money that they would have to get to make them even think about staying at Soldier Field.
And the property tax was one of those areas. Is that right, Ron?
The property taxes in Arlington Heights.
Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so... But right now, the latest news is the key Senate negotiator conceded that his chamber's caucus will not support the property tax incentive bill that the team says it needs to prevent a move to Hammond, Indiana. So that seems a little closer to reality than I thought it was. We'll have to see, though. Stay tuned.
I hope it doesn't go to Hammond.
I know, that would just be so strange, wouldn't it?
It would be strange. It would be great for the town of Hammond.
Yeah,
I understand
wonderful.
That.
And, there will be winners and losers.
Yeah, and we travel back and forth. It's easy enough to do that from Chicago. And there's apparently going to be tons of parking if they go there. I'm like,
but, I thought the Hammond location, wasn't there a story that that was going to be on top of some kind of a slag heap?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, it's not prime real estate. So.
Oh, golly.
I just don't know how they're going to work this out. It still seems to me like, I mean, the most logical, not that logical and legislature always go together in the same sentence, but the most logical thing to be would just to move into Arlington Heights, give them some tax incentives, you know.
Yeah, they've already bought that stadium.
Yeah, or that land, yeah, so they can, they've got to build. And
and they got tons of matching funds coming from the NFL. So Arlington, go ahead. At this point,
unless you live out near there and you're going, maybe not. Maybe I don't want to have that kind of traffic in my neighborhood.
Well, again, that's why I'm looking forward to baseball Sunday afternoon.
And the last I heard about the whole meeting today was they had brought in boatloads of food. They were going to stay till the bitter end. So now they've gone home to sleep fast and come back tomorrow. And I bet you by midnight tomorrow night, we're not going to have a done deal.
I think they have to have it by midnight. So I don't know that there are going to be extensions.
There's going to be some way they're going to wiggle. My crystal ball says we're not going to know this time tomorrow night. I'll be surprised. But we'll be listening because you'll be on top of it.
I will be here, and I'm going to bring in a boatload of food, too. Stay till midnight eating Italian beef and maybe some pizza. So
I was just going to ask, on those late nights, what is your go-to? You got to have what? And so Italian beef?
Italian beef, sure. That's great.
Now I'm thinking food.
Yeah, now you've got...
Great. And we've got a pack of crackers. Why do I just bring crackers in every... That's the worst thing in the world to eat when you're on the air.
Yeah.
Because your mouth dries up and now you're spitting crumbs, you know?
And they're crunchy, too. Yeah,
and you're crunchy, yes.
Yeah, that's a pro tip right there.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks, appreciate Ron. It. Okay, that's one to watch.
But you did make some cheese quiche. We're heading out to my brother's in Munster.
We have a ham and cheese quiche in the car.
Yeah.
Don't drop it.
Assuming it makes it.
Don't tell Ron where we're parked, okay?
I'll be looking downstairs in the parking garage. But
we're parked right next to the Zamboni.
Oh, that's right, the Zamboni.
The Zamboni is down there, yes, yes.
I have to see that.
Okay. Gosh. All right, look in your crystal ball, Steve. What are you calling it? I say they're not going to decide this time tomorrow night. They're going to find a way to wiggle out of it because it's just gone on so long.
It's gone on so long, and I'm in the minority here, and I know nothing. I don't think Soldier Field is off the table.
Wow.
Really?
I really don't.
Wow.
Huh. And you think that's why Johnson went to visit with the Pope?
There you go.
He wanted to get,
He saw what the Pope has done for the Sox.
That's it.
And he said, look.
Help me. Yes, help me keep Soldier Field. Yes.
Don't let me be the mayor that loses the Bears.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I'm out if I lose the Bears, that's for sure. All right. Jeff, what's your call on that situation? You think they're going to decide?
They'll decide. If I've learned anything,
you think so by midnight tomorrow?
Politics, it's always this. It's always down to the last minute. And there's a bill, and they're not leaving. They're not leaving.
They're going to find a loophole to come back later. I'm serious because today, this afternoon, when I heard that they were bringing in cartloads of food, and boy, they were going to make the decision. It was all going to be worked out tonight, and now here we are, going on midnight. Nope, they've gone home.
Because they didn't have any gluten-free food.
The gluten-free loophole.
There you go.
The little-known gluten-free loophole.
Yes.
So we'll have to wait another day.
Well, if you live in Arlington Heights, are you thumbs up or thumbs down about the possibility of the Bears coming to your neck of the woods? And are you like me and you're
saying... And which would you rather have in your neighborhood? The Bears or AI?
Oh, no. No, I'll take 15 Bears.
Yeah, I would too.
15 teams.
No data centers, right?
No. Oh my gosh, this is a very...
The more that I read about data centers, as much as I'm all about the technology, but do I want one anywhere near me? No.
Well, there was a big meeting in Panama City this afternoon, And there was a chunk of land that had been targeted yep. for a data center, not very far out of town. And the townspeople, God bless them, they said, you know what? You need to explain in greater detail what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, what kind of strain does this put on us for power, for water, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And
this is at a time when some of the areas down there have been already dealing with droughts.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and fires. And yep. So they actually, I don't know if you saw the conclusion of the meeting today. After everyone spoke and they had a great meeting, they decided a one-year moratorium. Nothing will happen for a year.
And so, I think this is on the heels of one of the other counties that is very close to us in Florida said, nope, you're not going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, there are still bills that have not been decided yet in Illinois around this. Further regulations on artificial intelligence companies, limits to local zoning regulations mm-hmm. As well. So we've got to hear from them on this. So there could be some more regulations on artificial intelligence companies coming to Illinois.
I think just about every state is really taking a close look at this.
And I feel like we just blinked and all of a sudden they've become a reality. Like, really? Yep. Where was the build up to? Joliet's looking at a huge one.
Yeah.
It is how many football fields there?
Like 10 football fields or something?
It might have been more than that.
More than that. It's ginormous.
Scary big, so.
Really, really big. I had mentioned that Johnson doesn't want to be the mayor that loses the Bears. Brendan says, is this Brendan? Well, this is not Brendan Johnson. Sorry. This is a listener that says, why was he over there with the Pope when he should have been here for these negotiations? And that's a good point. Why wouldn't he be here making a case?
Unless he felt that when he went down to Springfield, about 2 weeks ago, he said that he did as much as he could do, and now it was up to the other legislators?
I still think he was trying to get some special
I think
help.
You're right.
Some help from the Pope.
Should have brought him a Bears hat instead of a Cubs hat.
Yes.
We need this. Here's a football. Here's a Bears hat.
You know what, Steve? That was a Bears hat in the road that we drove over tonight.
It was.
That's symbolic.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's it. That was on Hollywood.
It was.
As we were approaching Bryn Mawr, and I said, that's a Bears hat in the road.
Yep.
There was too much traffic. I couldn't jump out and get it, so we just drove over it. And that's
we didn't hit it, but
we just drove
know,
over,
we
yeah.
navigated it's kind over
of,
it.
I think that's symbolic of something. I haven't decided what it is, but it's symbolic.
Well, I hope it's good.
Yeah, we'll see.
We will see. As we say, stay tuned.
Thank you, Ron.
Sure thing.
We'll take a break. More coming up. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. So we were talking about some state legislation that deals with the AI. But I was fascinated by this. This doesn't have anything to do with AI. But I was very surprised to see that down in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
Outdoor balloon releases will be illegal in Louisiana starting in August. The state legislature in Louisiana passed a bill this week that prohibits the intentional outdoor release of Mylar and latex helium balloons.
Good.
The new law goes into effect August 1st. Balloon releases are often used for celebrations to honor those who have died, but critics of the practice said what goes up must come down.
Mm-hmm.
Louisiana Wildlife Federation said that when the balloons eventually fall to the ground, they can harm animals that might ingest them. The balloons can also interfere with power lines and electrical infrastructure, which can cause dangerous outages or costly damage. And the story goes on, but I'm glad to see that happen, and I wish they would start doing it. Every time we are watching a TV newscast and we see that they did a balloon release to honor or in memory of whatever, I cringe because, you know, I love balloons as much as the next guy, but they are not good for the environment.
Mm-mm.
So, and I would love it if they would start doing drone shows or something, you know, pick us something else.
Do they say what the repercussions are if you're busted for letting loose some balloons? Remember, it used to be, and I don't know what they're doing at weddings now, but there was a time when we made the transition from rice at weddings because birds were eating the rice and it was not good for them. And so they said, well, we need to change that. So we'll throw bird seed at people.
They suggested alternatives to balloon releases include flying kites, blowing bubbles.
Oh, that seems kind of lame, though.
Releasing floating flower petals.
Oh.
Planting a tree, yes.
Yes.
A native garden or a painted rock garden. Hosting a candlelight vigil.
That's good.
Releasing biodegradable confetti, ringing bells, celebrating with banners or flags, making pinwheels so that children can take home, donating money or time to a charity in someone's name, organizing a commemorative walk or a service project, creating a mural or art installation, including a message to your loved one.
That's nice, yeah.
Organizing a food drive or community give back. The new law will not apply to people under 17 or to anyone who unintentionally releases a balloon.
But if 50 people get together and they've all got a balloon in their hand, that's going to be a big no-no.
First-time offense brings a $500 fine and 8 hours of court-approved litter cleanup.
Oh, perfect! Make the punishment fit the crime. That's great.
Second offense brings a $900 fine and 20 hours of cleanup. Third or later offense brings a $2,500 fine, a one-year driver's license suspension, and 80 hours of cleanup or a combination of those penalties.
What? Wait. Well, how does your driver's license come into this?
Because they're trying to say, we really, 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 really don't want you to release balloons. And if you are fined for the third time, obviously you are intentionally going against this. So, all right, here.
You're as my mama used to say.
Do we have your attention?
You're just hard-headed.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to crack that hard head and make you pay.
But I don't know why I'm surprised at Louisiana, but I am surprised that Louisiana is the first state to do this.
I'm sure that they also deal with balloons ending up in the Gulf.
Yeah.
And so now you have that aspect of concern. It's just always made me feel really sad when I see people doing a big balloon release because I'm thinking, you know, where is that going to end up? And what happens if planes are flying, and could it affect them too? All right, tying up a loose end, a listener filling us in on the Joliet Data Center that's planned. 795 acres. I know that sounds like a lot.
795 acres?
So I did the old Google. 795 acres is equal to how many football fields? 602.
What?
American football fields. Yes. I can't even...
That doesn't seem right to me.
I can't even process that, how big that is.
Wow.
I know.
705 acres?
The Google says 795 acres is roughly 602 American football fields. Isn't that stunning?
That doesn't strike me as being right.
I think it's the Google... Honey, it's right here in front of me on the internet.
So you don't want me to argue with the Google?
No, I don't.
I'm arguing with the Google. I don't think that doesn't sound right to me.
The listener from Joliet is the one that shared the information about it being 795 acres. The Joliet City Council.
How many acres are in Soldier Field?
I don't know.
Jeff, there's your assignment. How many acres are in Soldier Field?
I know Joliet's only 65 square miles, so...
Doesn't that seem hard to comprehend, something that's that big? Okay, I'm Googling again, Steve. Soldier Field sits on 7 acres.
Okay.
The broader parklands and recreational grounds surrounding the stadium encompasses 17 acres of public space. But again, we're talking about hundreds of acres, or rather hundreds of football fields.
The math just isn't working.
It's not mathing for you?
No, it It ain't.
Well, you're looking at the wrong person when it comes to math. Because you know me, I just round up to the next biggest number.
Yep.
It makes the checkbook.
That's why we have separate checkbooks.
Steve, my checkbook looks good. I always have money.
And I actually know how much money I have.
You do not. You leave those spaces blank. I know you. I've seen your book before. How about you, Jeff? You round up or not? Or the exact? Or do you even have a checkbook?
I do have a checkbook. I haven't balanced it, though, in probably 2 decades.
We just round it up to the next highest number. Because you'll always have money.
Exactly.
Well,
right? And it makes the same thing with time, too.
It makes me think of the story. True story. Johnny's mom worked at a bank.
Yes.
Woman comes in, ticked off because a check bounced. And she said, but I still have checks.
And she looked at my mom across the counter going, look it, checks. I have checks. Why are you doing this to me? I know. It's scary.
Failure to communicate.
Then they drive and procreate. That's really scary.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they vote.
Yeah, or not.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. That and more coming up. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And by now, you know, anytime you hear some really, really, really unusual music, it is probably one of Tom's tunes, and Tom would be the publisher of Consumer Guide. Tom Appel, and Tom, who was that, what is it, and what is the theme for tonight's Tom's Tunes list?
Tonight's theme is Let's Get Twisted, and that song was Just a Little Bit of Twist by the Ray Bryant Combo off his album Dancing the Big Twist from 1961.
I liked it. I've never heard it.
I'd never heard it, and it's that there was anybody who wanted to sell any record in the 60s, in the early 60s, added the word twist on the end of the record.
Grandma's twist.
Yeah.
Pumpkin pie twist.
Ooh.
Oh.
I would like that.
Oh, boy. So, see, we've got food on the brain. You'll have to forgive us, Tom. How are you doing tonight?
I am very well. Thank you.
Good. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight.
Can we start off with something that we touched on a little earlier? Your next oil change may be a little more interesting than you thought.
Yeah, there's a crazy thing happening here, and it seems like no one saw this coming. But one of the things that is imported through the Strait of Hormuz is a special type of oil. It's called Group 3 oil, but it's the oil that is used to produce synthetic oil. Now, I think a lot of people think that synthetic oil is fake oil, but it's really not. It's oil that's been hyper-processed to get the molecules down to very small and very similar sizes. That's part of the reason why it's so efficient and protects so well. But that oil base only comes from the Middle East. About half of it comes from the Middle East. And that supply, of course, has been cut off. And what's happening is we are running out of synthetic oil. And you may not know this, but most new cars now call for synthetic oil.
Yep.
That's why no one's paying $30 for oil changes anymore. We're all paying about $80. And that's because the oil is synthetic. And good things come from that. Better mileage, better engine protection. It's worth it. But the problem is we're going to run out of this stuff, and you can't substitute regular oil for it.
So what do? Park your car?
That's a good question. And what's going to happen probably is that manufacturers are going to make recommendations for different weights and different viscosities that you can use in place of the oil you should be using.
Would it have to be a different viscosity of synthetic oil, or could you use a regular?
But it's going to have to be synthetic, yeah. Okay. So ultimately, to your point, Steve, there's still going to be a shortage. There's just other stuff you can tap in the meantime, but that doesn't mean we're not going to see big price increases and maybe wait lines or even having to schedule appointments in advance But oil changes as supply expands.
But even if you're told, okay, you can use a different viscosity, it's still synthetic oil, and synthetic oil is still the problem. So what if you can't get it?
Yeah, it doesn't fix the problem. It just makes the problem a little bit easier for a little while. And they're talking about this problem. If the Strait of Hormuz opened up today, this problem would be a problem through next summer.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, we have not seen this yet because we didn't see it coming, but dealerships are running out of synthetic oil as we speak.
So if you are looking at an oil change at, what, 3,000 miles, right?
Yeah.
And you're at...
Although with 3,000 miles is my mindset.
Yeah.
That's a low number for today. Yeah.
With a lot of today's newer vehicles, what are they saying about 7,000 miles is the norm?
There are numbers as high as 10,000, and then there are cars that will tell you based on your usage when you need to replace that oil. But 7,500 is common, 10,000 is common. So, yeah, you may have to drive a little bit less to make this work. But you also are better off going long on your oil change than replacing it with non-synthetic oil.
Oh, okay. So I guess my point was, if you are looking at an oil change is necessary within the next few months, maybe you want to push it up and just go ahead and get it done.
Yeah, it wouldn't be crazy to get one in the next month no matter what.
Interesting.
Wow. Is there any source of synthetic oil in the United States?
Yes. The type 3 oil can be had other places. About half of it is coming through the Strait of Hormuz. So that's what's being constrained right now. There will be some produced. We're not going to run completely out, but having half the supply will really mess things up for consumers.
Hmm. Wow. So you... Yeah.
What will that do for new car sales?
Well, that's a great question. Hopefully manufacturers don't run out of the stuff.
Oh, sure.
Because if your new car is supposed to run on synthetic oil, and if they haven't got the synthetic oil to put in your new car in the new car showroom, that could be a problem.
Yeah, I haven't heard this, but I suspect that car makers have already locked down their supply. The possible catastrophe of not having oil to put in crankcases of brand new cars is almost unthinkable.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay, we're going to take a break. I want to come back and address something that came up at the top of the show. We were talking about gas prices and the fact that... Excuse you, Tom.
That's quite a cold you got there, Tom.
Yeah, sorry about that.
In fact, we'll take a break. We're going to come back.
Medic over to Tom's house.
But the whole issue was premium gasoline. I said, you know, we had purchased it and it was over $6 a gallon. I said, whoo,
right.
That was just mind blowing. And a couple people said, well, you know, you don't have to put premium gasoline in your car. So we'll take a break and come back because they wanted your opinion on that. If the manual suggests that you use premium gasoline, what happens if you don't? So we continue talking cars as we do a couple times a month with Tom Appel here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is so 60s. I love that. That is one of Tom's tunes, Tom being Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide, and these are some of the songs that Tom uses to test sound systems of different vehicles, and that is Who and What.
That is The Hucklebuck Twist by Ernie Fields. That was a single from 1961. And to your point, guys, about selling songs with the word twist, the word twist is literally in parentheses on the record itself.
Yep. Yep.
So it was The Hucklebuck, parentheses, twist.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, gosh, 1961.
So we were talking about the problem of the synthetic oil supply, and that led to a question that came in earlier tonight when we were talking about the price of gas as we were driving in tonight.
Yes, I took a picture of a gas station on Peterson, and unleaded... unleaded was in the mid $5. Premium was $6.19.
Yeah.
And we paid $609 the other day for premium, and a couple of listeners says, well, why are you buying premium? Even if the when you open up the little door, it says it's recommended, it's not mandatory. So what's your take on that? They want to know what you think.
And it's a simple question, and it has a complicated answer.
And before you give the complicated answer, I will give my rationale, which is premium is recommended. Yes, you can use regular or a lower grade gas, but you might not get all of the power from your engine. You might not get the kind of horsepower. I choose to keep the engine running at the best condition it can,
sure,
which is why it is my choice, our choice, to use premium in the vehicles that we have that recommend premium.
Right.
If you go to the EPA site and you check the fuel economy of different vehicles, you'll see what fuel that the EPA used to test that vehicle. And that's the manufacturer recommended grade. Most cars these days run fine on regular gas, but a number of vehicles, mostly premium brand vehicles, they recommend or sometimes require premium fuel. So here's the story about that. My daughter's car, for example, she has a Mazda CX-30, which is a small crossover, actually comes with two different horsepower ratings, one for regular and one for premium. And the difference is not small, 227 horsepower versus 250. They don't care which one you use. They just want you to know you're going to get better performance for the premium. And in most cases, almost all cases, your car knows what kind of gas is in it, and it will back off power delivery somewhat to compensate for the reduced octane. The thing you want to be sure of, and there's no way to super be sure of this, is that a manufacturer won't know that you stopped using premium and that that might hurt your warranty coverage. So I think that if you're in the warranty period, you probably should do what the maker tells you to do. That said, you're very, very, very unlikely to do anything like damage. You're just going to result in a little bit lower power delivery. Now, that said, with your power delivery, you know, your power output coming down slightly, your fuel economy is going to come down a little bit too. So you do offset some of the benefit by going with the cheaper gas.
Okay, I'm going to get into a really technical thing here, and I don't know the answer, and I don't know that you know. How does your engine know?
Oh, that's a great question, and it's actually a question of very, very, very minor amounts of knock. So you would never feel it. You wouldn't sense it. It's not like the 70s or 80s when engine knocks was this horrible loud thing that sounded like it was destroying your engine. Your engine literally can detect the smallest amount of knock and simply back off the spark advance just a little bit to compensate for the lower octane.
Jeff wants to jump in here for a second, Jeff.
Oh, I was saying they also are reading the air pressure and air sense at temperature, and so it knows that fuel ratio, and it gets an automatic readback of an output through the purge sensor that goes in the catalytic converter. So the engine knows exactly the amount of ratio of loss of good chemicals and bad chemicals coming out, and it's easy for it to know exactly what kind of power you're putting into it and what it's creating as far as.
So my car is smarter than I am.
It is really smart. It knows a lot of physics.
Yeah, it's a whole lot smarter than
Jeff,
I am.
Jeff, you know stuff. What the heck are you doing working with us?
Remember, he's just producer du jour. He's just stopping
by.
Yes,
he's just it's a drive-by.
Yes. Okay, so I suggested to a listener that we were told with our vehicle that really you had to use premium gasoline. And maybe it's because it's under warranty, new vehicle, that we were told that you have to use premium gasoline. I want to take you back to synthetic oil. Another listener, and this is from an 872 area code. This listener says, my mechanic told me to buy several jugs of synthetic oil, stockpile it. So I did. I have oil for the next 2 years of oil changes. I'm locked and loaded. So does oil go bad if you decide you're going to stockpile it for a couple of years?
No, especially not synthetic oil. It'll keep for a very, very long time.
I have visions of people running and buying cans of oil, and then we'll be putting it on Marketplace. You too can have a can of oil for a mere $50. It's all yours.
What's nice is you can now buy oil these days in 1 gallon jugs. So that's pretty handy.
So it wouldn't be crazy to buy some then.
No.
What happens, because I notice now anytime we have an oil change, there is a little extra charge for disposing of that oil.
Yes.
Where does that oil go? Can it be recycled and reused, in other words, cleaned up and turned into more synthetic oil?
It is cleaned up. Funny story, when I was a kid working at a gas station in high school, when I started working there, there was a company that would come by and buy our waste oil. They would give us money for it, and then they would reprocess it and turn it into low-grade oil for consumer purchase. While I worked there, they stopped paying us for the oil and eventually started charging us to collect it. So, yeah, that all happened in the 80s. But the oil is collected. It is processed and cleaned up and used again. I don't think it's used for motor oil again anymore. I don't think they can get that kind of quality out of it.
Well, with our love of fast food, why can't we figure out a way to use all the oil that comes from fast food restaurants and just turn it into synthetic oil that we need? We got a lot of it.
Do you know about a restaurant that used to use waste oil to power its diesel Volkswagen Beetles for delivery?
Yes.
Yeah. What? Unfortunately, the diesel filtration system got to the point where that was no longer viable. But for a little while, they were using fry oil to power their delivery fleet, which was pretty cool.
For some reason, I'm thinking Willie Nelson has something to do with taking fast food oil and turning it into...
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah. Hmm. See, I go back to when I was growing up, I remember my grandmother had this little tin can she would keep by the side of the stove, and when she would make bacon or whatever, or just any extra grease, she would keep that in the can and she would reuse that grease.
We have a grease jar in our kitchen, sure, because bacon grease is gold. It is gold.
What is it used for?
It's used for seasoning food.
Okay.
It makes it sound kind of iffy, but it's really wonderful. You need that seasoning in certain foods.
Okay.
A listener has an older vehicle, no manual, with this 2003 Toyota Echo. How do you find out what kind of oil, synthetic or regular oil? Is it someplace on the vehicle that tells you this?
I don't know if it's on the vehicle itself. It could be someplace. I don't think that's general practice. But you can find every owner's manual now online.
Yeah.
That's true. And in fact, if you want to get real crazy, go on eBay. You could probably buy an owner's manual. Because people who have parted out their cars, they sell the manuals too.
We did that with a vehicle that we have in Florida.
We bought the Monroney sticker.
Yeah,
the actual sticker, yeah.
The sticker and the manual for the vehicle. Yeah,
yeah, for like $20.
Yeah,
like,
not a big deal.
Yeah, really.
The blatant plug light has gone off. So, Tom, for people who don't know, tell them about Consumer Guide and Car Stuff Podcast and all that stuff.
Yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. I write one brand new car review every single week. I've got two new ones up there right now, the Toyota Land Cruiser 1958 edition. And I just wrote about the Lexus RZ550E, which is Lexus's electric compact crossover. Very nice vehicle, worth knowing about. And then this week's podcast was all about our 2026 Best Buy picks. So if people are car shopping, you want to listen to this list and start shopping with the cars we talk about.
So how do people find the podcast? And
Yeah, the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast comes out every week, very early Tuesday morning, and you can download it anywhere.
Okay. Tom joins us a couple times a month. We got a lot more ground to cover. Real quick, do you know off the top of your head how many gallons of oil are needed for an oil change? Because people want you to start stockpiling oil.
And that depends on the vehicle, doesn't it?
Depends on the vehicle, but 4 to 5 for most non-diesels.
4 to 5 quarts of oil.
Yeah. And then the big trucks could be different. And the huge midsize trucks with the Cummins, the Duramax, or the Powerstroke diesel is a huge number that I forget.
I just have visions of people running out tomorrow to buy quarts of oil, which is not a bad thing, folks.
Not a crazy thing to do.
Yeah. We're going to take a break for news. We'll come right back talking cars with Tom here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That music, of course, means we're talking all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. Tonight's Tom's Tune theme is Let's Get Twisted. And who was, I know who that is, but I'm going to ask you, who was that and what was it?
That was the Weeping Willow Twist by Roy Clark off an album called The Lightning Fingers of Roy Clark from 1961. That is a great album. It's a little bit stunt heavy, but boy, is it fun.
And I am so familiar with that album because it was on Capitol Records, and I bought it when it first came out, and that was my first exposure to Roy Clark. That's before he started having any of the hit records, and you're right, it is stunt heavy. He's doing a lot of guitar tricks.
He's good.
Oh, yeah. He's so playing good. A great Fender guitar on that, and it's kind of it's a moment in time. I mean, it sounds like it was from 1961 and
yeah.
Trying to be twisty guitar and tricky guitar, and it is, but it's fun.
Zeitgeisty. You were looking for zeitgeist.
Of course,
that's the
word.
Thank you.
All right, this oil conversation is a slippery slope, and we've slipped right down that slope. Take you back to the Willie Nelson story. All said, gee, it kind of sounds familiar. He was famous for powering his tour buses with biodiesel made from recycled cooking grease and vegetable oil, fuel that he branded as Bio Willie Biodiesel. Apparently, it all started with his wife, Annie, who drove a diesel Volkswagen Jetta that ran on recycled restaurant grease. So he launched his biodiesel line. That was in 2005. In 2014, the primary Bio Willie production plant in Carl's Corner, Texas, had ceased operation. So he was ahead of his time, which is too bad.
He was. Yeah. We don't use diesels anymore, though, for passenger vehicles. So the biodiesel thing has passed. Although biodiesel is still available in some states, it's now a more standardized formula, but it's about 20% soybean oil, I believe. Hmm.
Am I wrong, or was there a short-lived GM diesel car experiment?
Well, General Motors famously produced a lot of diesels in the late 70s into the early 80s that got them into all sorts of trouble. Primarily because they converted gasoline engines to diesel engines.
And yeah.
The cylinder heads didn't get the job done, and cylinder head bolts were breaking. But that was part of the big thing. They produced much better diesels later, but the public never trusted them again.
GM had a lot of engine problems in the 70s. Was that the time of the 486 Cadillac engine?
Or the
468 Cadillac engine?
For people who don't know what that was... It was a V8 engine that would shut down to six cylinders or four cylinders to conserve fuel. And this was generally on the highway. And in theory, what a wonderful thing to do. You could cut your active cylinders down by half to save gas on the highway. In practice, they didn't have the computing power to make this work. And at one point in time, very early in my career, I was running around in a Cadillac V8 6.4 limousine. And there was an index card glued to the dashboard listing speeds that the driver should not drive. And this was because at those speeds, it would shift between 8 and 6 or 4 and 6 cylinders, and the shift was unpleasant.
Like you would feel it?
You could feel it, yeah. It was very jerky. I remember talking to the owner about it, and it was impossible for him not to use profanities.
Understood. Yes. Okay, just a few more questions on the business of oil. Is regular oil in jeopardy?
Probably not, because that comes from regular oil feedstock, which is plentiful. The U.S. produces an awful lot of oil, regular oil, so we don't import much. I mean, we pay, you know, global market prices, but the stuff doesn't move very far.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think regular oil is in trouble.
Pennzoil based on natural gas?
Pennzoil, Natural gas is used to process motor oil, and I don't know how. This is a little bit outside of my wheelhouse, but I'm not sure that there's oil based on natural gas. I know there is oil produced with natural gas.
With. So a listener says, will my car dealership change my oil if I bring in my own gallon jug of synthetic oil?
Maybe. I'm thinking they won't do it tomorrow, but they might in a month.
Uh-huh. And probably your local mechanic would be willing to do that.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have the oil and he gets paid for the labor, sure.
Yeah, it's still labor. You still need a filter. So
yeah, I would
there's still money to be made.
Yeah, yeah. Again, questions for you. We're going to table this discussion because we only have so much time. I want to know what you're driving today.
Oh, well, today... I have the window sticker up here because I was just looking at it. I am driving the 2026 Lincoln Navigator Reserve. So this is the really big Lincoln crossover, really an SUV. It's based on the Ford Expedition, but far, far more nicely finished. It's actually a fantastic vehicle. It's beautiful inside. If you need this kind of power, this kind of towing capacity, and this kind of space, this is a wonderful car. If you don't, consider something lighter because this is just a lot of car. It's more than 100 grand. The fuel economy is the fuel economy.
Is it like 15?
It is city, 15 city, 22 highway, and it does get that mileage, which is impressive for something this big and this powerful. But ultimately, you could do much better with, for example, the Nautilus is available with a hybrid drivetrain.
Yeah.
And that's their their midsize crossover. That's a very nice vehicle,
great vehicle.
Well, the vehicle that you're driving, does it have the crazy Lincoln 30-way seats?
It does. It has those. I am comfortable in this vehicle. It also has, for people who have not seen this, there are videos on YouTube. Lincoln has done this wonderful, wonderful thing where they've extended what would be the touchscreen across the entire dashboard. And you can customize what information you want where. It's so cool. So I've got the clock up. I've got the music up. I've got a map up. And you can just move this stuff around. It's very easy to do. And it's surprisingly natural feeling once you drive the car a few miles.
And you're comfortable.
Yes, very.
Because we really tried to buy a Lincoln, and the 30-way seats pushed us away.
Now, maybe there's a different kind of 30-way seats that they have in the Navigator, because we were looking at the Aviator.
Okay.
And
I couldn't get comfortable.
And we wanted, we were impressed with Lincoln's quality.
And the dealership was wonderful.
Yeah, the dealership was terrific.
Yeah.
But we really wanted to buy it. We tried several Aviators, and we couldn't get comfortable in those 30-way seats. And I know we've told the story before. Driving to the dealership, we accidentally pulled into the wrong lot because there was two dealers right next to each other. Lot we pulled into was a Genesis dealer. Tried the GV80. Took one drive. It sold us. It was just
that's
terrific.
A great car.
It's the seat. And I always think about Jim Mateo, Tribune automotive writer forever. He would always say, if you get in a car that you're road testing and you can't get comfortable in the seat, 6 months from now, you won't be comfortable in that seat. It just won't happen. It's not like your Barca lounger at home that you can break in and 20 years later it fits to your butt. Nope, it's not going to happen. And he was adamant about
that. That's a great piece of
advice. Yeah.
But let me pursue a little bit more with the Navigator. So it is, by definition, a big honking vehicle.
Yes.
But given that, if you need that vehicle, it's going to cost megabucks. What do you think of the performance? What do you think of the quality, the wind noise, road noise, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's fantastic on the highway. The drivetrain, there's no V8 available anymore. It uses the 3.5-liter turbocharged V6, which in Ford applications is called EcoBoost. Mm-hmm. Lincoln doesn't use that brand, but it's the same engine. Very strong. It uses a 10-speed automatic transmission that was co-developed with General Motors, interestingly enough. Very slick transmission. And that transmission is part of the reason that these get the fuel economy that they do. Very efficient, very slick shifting. It's impressive how nicely these shifts click off as you're accelerating. But the interior is also very quiet, and it would not be difficult for someone in the third row to converse with someone in the first row.
So it is a three row. So it's a big vehicle, as you said, and over.
So it's a big honking vehicle.
You're right.
Now, do you have the extended navigator or just the regular? It's really, really big, as opposed to it's gargantuan big.
I have the standard length version, which I think looks a little funny. I don't know why. It looks a little bobtail to me. I think the longer version looks well, but the longer version gets you more third row space and more cargo space after the third row seats. So if you really, really need more cargo space and you're not going to have a hard time parking, go with that because it's not that much more money. I think it's about a $2,000 add, and you would get that money back at resale time anyway. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of parking, does it have the self-parking option?
It does, and I got to play with that.
It's fine.
I've not had a chance to do that with this particular vehicle.
Figure it out and then get someone in the car and don't tell them and take your hands off the wheel and watch them scream, "What are you doing?
Scared the daylights out of my brother. When we were driving down a street in his neighborhood.
It scared me too.
Took my hands off the wheel, just pressed this one button. The car found a parking space, and I'm not touching anything, and the car pulls into the space,
perfectly.
Pulls forward, pulls back, aligns itself, and my brother was completely freaking out.
Yeah. Me too.
That is impressive to see.
Yes. I'm sorry that I was dissing the 30-way seats because Lupe from Northwest Indiana says, we make those seats in Hammond. We make those seats in Hammond. Ford does also offer a 12-way seat for the Lincoln, but we were unable to find a vehicle that
had the 12-way
seat.
They only had the 30. And again, for probably 95% of the population, these 30-way seats are wonderful because they really, you can configure anything you want. We couldn't get comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and we got recall news. You know what? I want to get to that story about people of a certain age buying grandma cars and what that's all about, because that's a kind of an interesting story here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Before we find out what that is, I will tell you what is now playing in my head.
Okay.
A cheesy black and white rock and roll movie from the 60s.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of people trying to pretend like they know how to dance. And they really don't. But they're waving their arms over their head.
Because they're doing the swim.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Okay.
But wait a minute. We have to find out, who was that, Tom, and what was that?
Topically, the song was called Twisted by Sandy Nelson off his album Drums Are My Beat, 1962.
Of course it's 1962. That was a great time.
Sandy Nelson used to do a lot of recording in his garage. He had a studio set up in his garage.
Oh, you go, Sandy. David in Nashville writes, if I bring my own potato to McDonald's, will they make fries out of it? Anyone who brings their own oil to a car shop is a potato head. Thank you, David.
Duly noted.
Yes.
By the way, we're responding to Lupe, who was talking about they make the those seats in Hammond, made me think of a car that we loved. It was the Oldsmobile Touring Sedan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time I really became aware of seats because they had Lear Siegler bucket seats, which were some of the most comfortable seats we've had in any car.
Real leather, too. So good.
That was a cool car.
It was
very expensive.
It was
based on the 98.
Yeah.
And wow, what a great looking thing.
And when we traded that car in, the next week we went to the dealership and it was on their floor.
Yeah.
It was showcased on their floor. And when we traded it in, we gave them the book of every drop of gas that had ever been put in the car. And he said, we're giving you $100 for that. Literally, $100. Because he said, that's fabulous. Because people see how it was treated and, you know, mileage.
And didn't they actually sold it, but they asked the guy if they could keep it on the floor for a while. Because it was such a great looking car.
And it was just 6 years old at that point. didn't we keep that car? Come on. Because now there is an unexpected trend, they tell us from TikTok and Reddit, that Gen Z and young millennials are snatching up old Buicks, LeSabres, and Park Avenues, once dismissed as the car of your grandparents.
Because they're so comfortable and reliable.
Yes, and the seats, again, talking about seats, couch-like seats, especially if you get a bench seat in the front.
Yeah.
Your Buick had velvet, real velvet bench seat.
Now, that was my Buick Regal LTD.
Yes, and the problem with velvet is you can't scoot over because your clothes get twisted. Yes. But this is kind of a cool trend that many drivers see this as a form of rebellion against overpriced, tech-heavy, modern vehicles. They're unironically cool because they're comfortable, simple, and cheap to maintain.
And every place you go isn't being tracked.
Yeah.
No. There are a lot of LeSabres out there, the last generation of the LeSabres, mm-hmm. and a lot of Centuries out mm-hmm. there as well. The Century was smaller and probably not quite as cool, but both of those vehicles, very simple drivetrains, four-speed automatics, often the Buick 3800.
Which was a bulletproof engine.
Yeah, legendary. I love that engine. Reliability. So the cars are interesting. I hope this is a real trend. We saw this sort of happen in the 90s, too, where there were probably more enthusiasts than they were just regular youngsters, but they were really interested in the last station wagons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for a while, those were going to youngsters who thought they were cool, perhaps ironically, but I'm glad someone was preserving them.
Yeah.
And now, isn't there a question that some station wagons may be coming back?
That's what we're talking about. And we've had a couple of manufacturers talking about the return of the sedan and possibly the station wagon. Mm-hmm. BMW, for example, currently sells a station wagon version of the insanely high-performance M5. So that's cool. That's very limited production. But Buick is talking about bringing a sedan or two back. Cadillac is going to keep a sedan in its lineup. And it looks like Chevy might call something the Camaro that will actually be a sedan.
What was that wonderful, was it a Dodge station wagon?
The Magnum.
That was a cool station wagon.
It was
super cool. Yeah, there was a Magnum RT with a V8 engine.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that was a
nice car.
A great name for a car too. That's just bad.
Now, wasn't that a Hemi engine in that?
Yeah, there was, the RT was a 5.7 liter Hemi, and then later there would be an SRT version.
Yeah.
With an even bigger Hemi engine.
That was just scary good.
Mm.
That was a great car.
We're running up against the clock. Can we keep you for another segment?
Sure.
After 1 o'clock? Before we take a break, George wanted to know, and he was in here so early, he said, could you tell him anything about the Acura ZDX, Zebra David X?
Two things there. The ZDX was kind of an experiment going way back design-wise. But it was available between 2010 and 2013. And if people know what the BMW X6 is, those are the pioneering, you know, coupe versions of crossovers. So that was the first ZDX, and it was based on the MDX luxury midsize crossover. But recently, for just one model year, they sold a vehicle called the ZDX that was an electric car. Hmm. It was an electric crossover built for Acura by General Motors. Did not sell well. And as we know, Honda, Acura have backed off of all of their electric car programs. So that car's gone. One model year only.
Text from an 847 area code. Are electric vehicles going to be impacted by the synthetic oil?
No. What little lubrication in there probably won't matter that much.
Interesting question. Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently Pennzoil does use some natural gas. Some people are chiming in to tell us that, some natural gas. And don't be a potato head and you go taking your oil to your mechanic.
Again, the blatant plug light is flashing. So for people who are new to this consumer guide thing, tell us about this consumer guide thing and what can we find on the website?
Yeah, consumerguide.com. You can see our 2026 Best Buys. That's a list. You can read all our reviews. I do fun stuff too. I recently did my personal assessment of an Oldsmobile ad from 1975, when apparently we all had longer attention spans because This ad covers things like spark advance, spark plugs, radial tires. I can't believe anyone read this whole ad, but the 75 was
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
I was the guy who was reading those whole ads, and I still have some of the old brochures.
Yeah, we do. We got bags of brochures from the
Oldsmobile did some great brochures.
And you know what?
Yes, they did.
You could sell those on eBay too, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, $10 for a brochure. It just blows my mind the kind of stuff that you can find if you're into automobiles. And some people like all the pieces for the car that they own.
So go to consumerguide.com. You can see the best buys, reviews, shopping tips, auto shows. The Daily Drive blog is very cool. And you can also check out the Car Stuff podcast. We'll take a break, and we have locked the door. Tom can't get out, so stick around. More coming up. Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. And Tom's theme tonight was Let's Get Twisted. So I had to follow up with the song. Do you know that song, Tom?
I don't. No. It sounds familiar, though.
That was King Curtis and Soul Twist.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the twist continues.
That was a legitimate hit record back in the early 60s. King Curtis, who was a legendary sax player out of New York, he performed with, he had some solo hits, and he worked with Buddy Holly and a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we need to spend a little time talking about automotive recalls. What do we got for this week?
Yeah, I got a big one here, although it may not be that big in actuality, but a lot of vehicles are affected. Jeep is recalling 419,000 Grand Cherokees between 2022 and 2026. So all of them, basically. And the problem is that the side airbags may not deploy, or they may deploy too slowly. The numbers that they're talking about here that are actually effective are very low, but they don't know which vehicles they are, so they have to check. But this has to do with the occupant restraint controller unit, which will have to be replaced. Word goes out June 11.
So, again, your side airbags may or may not work the way they're supposed to work.
I don't want a slow airbag. No, if it's going to work, I want it there.
No, you don't.
Do you have the Honda Acura recall? 99,000 vehicles, including the Civic, CRV, a Pilot, and the Odyssey?
I don't have that in front of me, no.
A recall because a passenger seat weight sensor can short circuit from humidity, which can cause the front passenger airbag to deploy improperly during a crash. Isn't that weird that humidity could have an impact on it?
Interestingly, humidity was the big culprit in the Takata airbag failures.
Oh, and that takes me to a listener who said early on in a text, please ask Tom, is there any progress on airbag recalls?
There's so many of them, it's hard to... It's hard to know. They're ongoing. They're being replaced slowly. And we do know that the ones that were replaced with other faulty ones are now being replaced. So it's all insane. I want to stop talking about them, but the problem is real.
See, you feel like I feel about the Bears stadium. I want to stop talking about it. Just find a place for them, please. Okay. You have a little tiny car. Is it a Fiat that you had news about?
Oh, this is an interesting story. So Fiat, not doing that much in the United States in terms of sales. They currently sell the Fiat 500e, an electric version of the 500. It's relatively affordable, but the range isn't fantastic. Here's an interesting story. They're going to be importing a vehicle called the Topolino. And
the
people may know
who?
That name. Topolino.
Topo Gigio?
It means little mouse.
Oh,
See? Topo Gigio, little mouse.
Do you know what we're talking about, Tom, when we say Topo Gigio?
I don't think I do.
Oh, it's from the Ed Sullivan Show.
Your assignment, should you choose to accept it when we're done talking.
Go to YouTube, look up Ed Sullivan and Topo Gigio.
And that's why I kept saying, oh, Eddie, oh, because little Topo would talk to Eddie. So I digress.
The Topolino was a tiny little car that Fiat sold going way back to the 30s. And it was, you know, Beetle-like in its affordability and generally being loved by the public. But they're going to be bringing out an electric vehicle that is not street legal, that they will be selling through Fiat dealers here in the U.S., called the Topolino. And this vehicle is for use in gated communities and places like that where they might be allowed to drive on the road. Yeah, so it's an interesting – it's going to be about $12,000.
So it's like a glorified golf cart.
It is very much a glorified golf cart. It's only about 5 horsepower, but it does look fantastic. And if you live in such a place and can make use of this, I don't know what kind of volume they intend to do, but it's probably good PR because the thing's adorable.
It is. I came across the picture of it, and I said, oh, it's not a mini car, but it's a mini car. It's so cute. So it has 5 horsepower?
5 horsepower, yep.
And I think golf carts are better than that.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, but it's cute as all get out. So that's the Fiat. And is there any word when it's coming to the States?
Later this year.
Mm.
So we will see. Well, we may not see them. I don't know in Cook County how many of those you might see, but I think as you move out to neighborhoods where, you know, you need to get past security to get in,
yes,
you might see them there.
Or maybe on the farm, that would come in handy.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
I want to throw in a story. This comes from AARP, so by design, it will impact older Americans.
Sure.
A story that just came out this week. New AARP research shows that AM radio continues to play an important role in the lives of Americans 50 and older, especially in terms of access, trusted information, and public safety. While listening habits are everything, many still rely on AM radio for news, weather reports, emergency alerts, and community programming, leading most to believe that it should remain a standard feature in vehicles. And there are strong support for requiring AM radio in all vehicles. Support for AM radio-related policy action is strong among older adults. 79% supporting legislation requiring all vehicles sold in the U.S. to include AM radio at no additional cost to consumers, even though only a third of adults 50-plus listen to AM radio while driving. Strong support for keeping it in vehicles points to its perceived role as a reliable source of emergency and public safety information. And
there are two bills right now, one in the House and one in the Senate, and I don't know where they're at, but they're both bipartisan and they seem to have strong support. So by all means, write your congressperson and get them to support this.
And there was a story just within the past, within the past week and a half, where the president apparently was not aware of this, and when he was told about it, he said, well, he would absolutely support a bill to keep AM radio in cars. So hopefully that will happen.
Yeah, it's interesting that manufacturers wanted to rush to eliminate it. And Ford, for example, was going to drop it from the Mustang Mach-E, their electric small crossover, but they reversed that decision. But interesting list here. Tesla, BMW, Volvo, Rivian, Porsche, and Audi. No AM radio in any of their electric vehicles.
Hmm.
So if you want to write a mean letter, those are the people to write them to.
With electric vehicles, was there some concern about the radio being impacted by the fact it was an electric vehicle?
I think there was. There was something that had to do with the signal static or something.
But it's silly because it's easily shielded. There's really nothing about that argument that really holds a lot of water. The Chevrolet Bolt with a B, for example, which is now back on the market, by the way, was one of the first mass-produced affordable EVs, and they had no problem with the AM radio in that. So, it can be done. It's a minor nuisance.
Yeah.
A couple bucks, probably.
Yeah.
Real quick, Danny politely asks if before you get out of here, if you could give him any pro and con about the Kia model vehicles, your take on them.
On Kia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, love Kia. Yeah, if you have any bad memories of Kia from the 90s, just forget them. Yeah, Kia is a completely competitive brand. It's right up there with Toyota, Honda, Ford, Chevy. And you should be shopping those vehicles as well. Also, the thing about Kia, and this is true about Hyundai too, they have the better warranty.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're no longer budget brands, they still have this really great warranty, which is 560 for everything, I believe, and 10-100 for the powertrain, for the first buyer only. But yeah, Kia is absolutely worthy of being on your shopping list.
First buyer only, you mean when you sell the vehicle that does not follow the car?
Right. It drops by half. It goes to 550 for the second owner.
Well, that's
which is still
that's
okay.
That's strong. Yeah, if you sell it in the first couple of years, you're still passing along warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we wrap it up, 847 text. So, what is the name of that barker we heard in the background, and what kind of a barker is it?
I have no idea what it is, but it's my daughter's dog. She adopted it way back when she was in college in Colorado. And generally, it's asleep by now in its cage and not noisy. So on behalf of Echo, I apologize.
Is that his or her name, Echo?
Echo, yeah. She,
that's cool.
Charming dog. Yeah. Charming dog. A bit of a crazy dog. But, yeah, beloved.
I've seen pictures of Echo, and Echo is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good name, too. All right, well, Tom.
Very athletic.
final blatant plug, people should follow Consumer Guide, and what will they find there, and how can they get your Car Stuff podcast?
Yeah, new car reviews, used car stuff, classic car stuff, it's all there. And I've been paying a lot of attention to photography lately, too. So check out the pictures with our new car reviews. And you can download the Car Stuff podcast anywhere. Please subscribe. Also, it's handy if you leave us a review, especially on Apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tom is on Blue Sky, too.
I am. Car Guy Tom.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom, for your time. As always, pleasure talking to you. Have a great week.
Well, thanks, guys. Yeah, have a great one.
Talk to you soon.
And pet Echo for us.
I will.
Okay. We'll take a break. More coming up. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, we would like to now introduce you to our producer designate.
That's right. Yes.
Is that Jeff? Is that the what we've decided to?
I believe that's our plan. That's what we've the perfect title.
I was actually afraid Jeff had quit already. He just says, I'm done. He's in there with you, so.
So our new producer designate, who will become the official producer in a couple weeks, but at the moment he's doing a check ride to see how many mistakes we make all week.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. Well, that would be your Jonathan. Jonathan Lyle.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for signing on to spending your Saturday nights with us.
Absolutely my pleasure. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Just the way you wrote it, Steve.
Nicely done. You got the script.
Now, are you a Chicago guy?
I am a Chicago guy. Well, both the suburbs and Chicago proper.
Okay. You born where?
Born in Elgin, South Elgin, Fox River Valley area.
Well, of course. Yeah.
And then I've been out here for 6 or 7 years, bouncing back and forth over, the past all of my life.
Yeah. I lived in Aurora, so I'm very familiar because to us, Elgin was a neighbor of, we'd go to Elgin for dinner instead of going to Chicago, from Aurora.
Fantastic substitute.
Yeah, I agree.
Why radio?
Well, initially, when I was in high school, my passion was writing and going into journalism, and I wanted to have a newspaper column because this was the 1990s.
Yeah.
And it was still a flourishing industry. And then by the time I got to college age, it was, you could kind of see the writing on the wall. Like the tea leaves were kind of spelled out where everything was kind of fading away. And I knew that it was going to be very competitive with people who had tenure and being laid off and re-entering the job market. So being an understudy would be even more difficult. So I also have been told that my pipes kind of lend itself to this format.
Mm-hmm.
So this medium, and I studied and I tried my best to get into the broadcast arena, and here I am.
Mm-hmm.
When you were thinking about becoming a columnist, who did you read that made you want to be a columnist?
And I'm not entirely sure if this is going to be an unpopular opinion. And now I'm drawing a blank on the Tribune, Chicago Tribune sports writer's name.
That's Steve Rosenthal.
Mariotti.
Oh, Mariotti. Mariotti.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yes. So I followed a lot of his articles, and mm-hmm. then especially when I saw him on Around the Horn on ESPN, mm-hmm. just right. all of those columnists, too, like, played a part in shaping the fabric of what I was into and mm-hmm. who I like to listen to, who I like to read. Mm-hmm. So definitely they had a lot of influence.
Are you a sports guy?
I am a sports guy. I followed a lot of sports, especially like high school, college, professional.
Mm-hmm. Any particular sport?
I grew up playing ice hockey. I come from a hockey family. I love baseball. I love football. In the 1990s, you could not be influenced by the Chicago Bulls Basketball Association.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Michael Jordan, I fill out my brackets every March, but of the top four of the four major North American sports, basketball does fall to the fourth.
Uh-huh.
But I do like auto racing as well. So motorsports, like F1, Indy, NASCAR, mm-hmm. those pop up on my radar as well.
You didn't mention pickleball, though.
I'm aware of pickleball. I have not played pickleball yet.
I don't want to. We started the show talking yeah. to the high schooler who has started this pickleball tournament, and he's talking, and I felt like for a moment there I was listening to a foreign language when he's talking about the dupers. And
I was taken aback by how the phenomena has progressed, because I had heard whispers of this pickleball, this new sport, this new game they're playing like 5 to 6 years ago.
Yep.
And all of a sudden there's like professional leagues and they're converting all the tennis courts to
and
pickleball courts.
It's a big deal now.
Waukegan, the pickleball kingdom. When he said that, I was stunned. I thought it was some outdoor court somewhere, but no, it's all pickleball all the time there.
It's been quite the happening.
Yes.
So, overall broadcast, if you had to pick, radio, TV, what?
It's a very good question. It's a very good question. I have to lean heavily towards radio, just because it's nostalgic for me as well, because it's something that I grew up with, I associate with my family, car rides, music inspiration and music influences from my family that I've listened to on the radio. That were passed, like, you know, passes down generation to generation.
Yeah.
So here I am.
Yeah. What were your parents listening to when you were a kid?
Mother was more Beatles oriented. My father was more Beach Boys oriented. So it would be more golden oldies versus rock. But also my mother was big into, like, in the 80s and 90s, like Madonna was a phenomenon, Michael Jackson. So she was into more contemporary music as well. So my father liked to stick to the classics, but my mother was more progressive in finding new music. But then my father was also into like Cajun and Zydeco music as well. So you would hear different like regional American music in my home.
Because one of your responsibilities, as you might have heard, we have a dealer's choice where it is the responsibility of you to pick the song that's going to be played out of a commercial break or a newscast.
And I did ask Jeff about that too, and the prospect of that is exciting to me.
Yeah.
So if we had asked you for a dealer's choice tonight, where's the first place you would have gone?
Ooh. That's see, now I'm not trying to fit in, but I am trying to, you know, bring my own flavor to the show.
Good.
So I do want to something
introduce us to something.
Of course. But I also want to bring something to the table that would, you know, be nostalgic for you as well, as I love this and you guys would have a story of I heard this for the first time then, or I saw this band at this particular time as well. So just pinging on those points, just I think would bring it all together.
But again, with us, it does not have to be nostalgic. We've had more fun with new stuff that has set us searching, and a lot of times we have purchased an album by whoever the new person was, and sometimes wind up having them on the show. So that's a wide open field as far as we're concerned.
Two CDs this week alone. We probably buy a CD, almost a CD a week.
Okay.
I didn't get to play any of it tonight, but we brought the new Paul McCartney Dungeon Lane in with us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get to it tonight, we'll probably do a whole lot of it next week. Well, of course, who knows what we'll do next week, and we don't know when we're going to get on.
Yeah. So you are scheduled to be back here next Saturday.
That's the plan, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So we'll be on a little bit later because of this hockey game, the Stanley Cup hockey game.
And Jeff, I know we got to get to the news, but do we know who the producer du jour is for next week? Is it you? Is it Sammy?
I don't know. I think it might be Sammy.
Okay. Well, we'll be here to find out, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And now Jonathan will be joining us, too. So. Yeah.
How lovely.
Yes. Watch this space.
Go back to your room, Jonathan.
Back in your room.
As I was.
Yeah. That's right.
More coming up. Stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I should know who that is, Jeff. Who is that? I like that.
You do like that. That's Kevin Molesky, an old friend of mine, a troubadour who's been haunting the Northwest suburban bars for the last 25 years or so. He's a real talent and an old friend of mine.
Why have we not had him on the show?
Yeah.
We've talked about this once before. For Saturdays, he's a gigger, and every Saturday night, he's
that's
playing
right.
somewhere.
God
so.
Bless him. He's got a gig.
Exactly.
Let him work.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
You know what? We should put a bug in his ear and say, if you have that rare Saturday where you don't have anything booked, come and bring your talents to the show.
I've made that offer to him because I know you guys would love him.
Oh, okay. Boy. Because we have a summer concert series. In fact, on the 13th of June, we'll have Terry White in here.
Yep.
And he'll be telling us all about the big Fitzgerald's 4th of July.
That's a huge
shindig.
Deal.
Yeah. Have you ever attended that, Jeff?
No, but I've heard the stories, and Wendy Snyder used to talk about it all the time.
They bring in the best people. And
have you ever been to Fitzgerald's?
I have not. I'm a Northside guy, and I grew up in North Burbs, too. So
you need to make the trip. Fitzgerald is not one of. It is the best roadhouse in the country. Just great stuff. They do a blues thing on Tuesdays. They do Americana festivals.
Songwriters festival. And you're just giving they have new owners of Fitzgerald's, and they just want to maintain the vibe that was always there when you walked in. And if you don't know what we mean by roadhouse, that's not a disparaging term.
No, because it's a compliment.
Yeah. It's a great place to go to listen to music. And so Terry White will be in here with his guitar, sharing his new music, and also telling us about the lineups that are coming up in July. And then when we're down in Florida, we will have our buddies Jack and Jen on the show. And Jack and Jen will be debuting their brand new album. It's got a great title, Southern Gothic.
I think it's called Southern Gothic.
They're doing some good stuff too.
As a matter of fact, we should mention that next week we're here, the week after that we're here, and then for 2 weeks we're down in Florida. Mm-hmm. And we should also mention that next week we're not sure what the heck time we're going to start because of the Stanley Cup Finals. Our best guess is 10:30-ish.
Right.
And
the first game in that series is Tuesday night here on WGN at 7 o'clock Tuesday night.
And depending on what time we get on, that will determine a number of things, who we're going to have on with us. Patrick Crisman will be joining us to talk some tech stuff. And boy, there's some tech things. Meta is going crazy with now they're going to charge you for stuff, but we'll get into that with Patrick next week. Also, we may be talking to Todd Wilber. An author that you've had on before.
Mm-hmm. He actually goes to restaurants, mainly chain restaurants that are very popular, and he has the food that they're known for, and then he goes home and he figures out how to make them exactly the way they were made in the restaurant. And so he's put out a cookbook. It used to be Copycat Recipes, and now it's Hack This Recipe. And he's got a brand new book, it's just been out for about a week or so. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe when his name popped up in my feed. I thought, wait a minute, 40 years ago I interviewed him when he came up with his first Copycat book. And he remembered me, and so one thing led to another, and we've got him coming on the show.
And we may, depending, again, on timing, we may be talking with Denise LaGrassa, who is an incredible Chicago blues artist. So all of that is kind of up for grabs depending on what time we get on.
Mm-hmm. But when we're in Florida, when Jack and Jen join us, they will be, as I say, debuting their brand new album. In fact, when they found out we were coming back to town, they held off on releasing their album mm-hmm. so they could do it on our show, which just tickled me because they are so talented. And
they're such hard workers. They are self-starters. If you're regular listeners, you've heard us when we've been in Florida a couple times. We've had Jack and Jen on with us, and they're just terrific people.
Had a crazy story last Sunday. You know, last weekend was some terrible weather in the Panhandle, just awful weather. Yeah. A lot of damage was done in South Alabama, and we're just an hour outside of Alabama in our part of Florida. And they had a gig, a Sunday afternoon gig. Now, with the bad weather, they called the place that they had been booked and said, is it still a go? And the owner of the restaurant said, oh, yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. They drove 3 hours to get to this gig, and when they got there, it was closed due to weather. So there was an owner apparently walking around the place, and they went in and said, well, you know, you got to at least give us gas money.
Yeah.
We called you this morning, and you said, come on. And I said, that really encompasses just how difficult it is to do what they do.
Sure.
Because they walked away with gas money after driving 6 hours round trip mm-hmm. in horrible rain. Only to find out that, no, we don't need you. Go home. We're not paying you. Too bad.
And I would hope that they cross that place off their list for ever playing there again. Yeah. That is just unconscionable. Now, that's the kind of thing. I don't believe the Musicians Union is a big thing in that part of Florida. Although I guess it would depend on the venue. For example, the Gulf Coast Jam was going on this weekend. That's mm-hmm. a major deal with major performers.
Yeah.
And I would assume that that has to be a union-scale
you
thing.
You think? Sure.
Either that and or they just their price is what they are.
You know, if Keith Urban comes in from Nashville and the rain cancels it, he's going to walk away with some money.
Because that's back in the day when I was a member of the Musicians Union, if something like that happened, I'm sorry, we got paid something. I don't recall what it would have been, but we would have got paid something.
Hamburger and gas money, if you're lucky. Yeah. Yes. But. Be careful if you're out and about tonight, because we got a big, it is still May, and we had a full moon to kick off May, and we're wrapping up the month of May with a full moon. And I've said it before, after doing traffic for almost a decade in this city, I'm telling you, when there's a full moon, it has a profound effect on traffic. And there have been some really serious accidents today. So yeah. I said to you, when we heard Ron's news report earlier today, I said, there must be a full moon. Sure enough, it's the big old blue moon.
And what do I hear in the background? I hear a big plug Bob on his Zamboni. He's getting ready to clear up the studios.
Yep, getting ready for Wendy.
Watch out, he's coming. Okay, we're still broadcasting, Bob. That means it is time for our last call. So if you would like to be our last caller and win some goodies from this here radio place, 312-981-7200 is the number. That number again is 312-981-7200. And as long as you haven't won anything from this here radio place in the last 60 days or 2 months, whichever comes first, you would be eligible for some prizes. And you don't have to have anything pithy to say.
No, no.
Especially with a full moon.
With all the stuff that we've covered tonight, there might be something that we touched on that's of interest to you, and you found yourself talking to your radio.
Yelling back at your radio.
If you want to be our last caller, you can share that with the masses.
I just realized, you know what you didn't do?
Hmm.
The final gluten-free recipe for the month.
Doggone it. I think...
That goes on your permanent...
Oh, stop
record.
It. You know how I am about my permanent record. It's flawless. I do not want it to be marred. I will still post a recipe because we said every night during Celiac Awareness Month I would have a recipe. I think I'm going to have to repost one that was wildly popular. And we mentioned it last week on the air when we were talking to the Deflowered Bakery. Mm-hmm. I'm going to post my Starbucks gluten-free lemon loaf.
Oh, okay.
That's some good eating, too.
Of course, now you made me hungry for that.
I know. So I will post that recipe for you probably within the next day or so. Yeah.
Or a week, whatever. Whatever comes
month,
first.
Week, year, whatever. Just watch the space. But thank you for reminding me.
Okay.
The night got away from me. I was all ready. I had all of this prep work and yeah.
Okay, last call, 312-981-7200. We'll take a break and see who we talk to.
Good night. Good night.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Losing time.
Head on out.
Yeah, you really kind of do. Nope, 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 nope.
And you can't hear the whole song unless you go to YouTube and type in Red Peters, P-E-T-E-R-S. He's the guy who wrote and sings the closing song.
And when you hear all of it, you will discover why you ain't going to hear it on this here radio place, unless it's our absolute last night
yes.
ever.
It would be our, as they say, swan song, right?
Yes.
If you hear the whole thing, sit up and take note. All right. It's time for what we call our last call. Having worked bars for many years, that's when the lights get to flickering and the Zamboni comes through to clean up the joint. And we tell you, get ready to pack on up and move on out.
Yep.
That's what we're all about. So we are going to, you drew the number last week.
Yeah, I did. So
I'm going to go with three.
Three? Okay.
Yes.
That three is Marty. Hey, Marty, where are you calling from?
Whiting.
Oh, Whiting, Indiana.
We're heading out in your direction tonight.
Yes, we are.
Are you kidding me?
No, we can be there in 45 minutes, Marty. You want to leave the light on for us? Okay.
Well, I've been on the wagon since Wednesday, but a drink doesn't sound too bad, but I've been on the wagon since Wednesday. But
okay. Well, I'm packing a ham and cheese quiche. I mean, I think most people would say, come on by.
You know real men don't eat quiche.
Oh, please.
That's an oldie but a goodie.
It is. You're right.
Well, we're heading out to my brother's in Munster. Spent a couple days out there with him.
Yeah.
But
So
why are you up at this hour of the morning?
Well, I'm retired union labor construction.
Okay.
Local 41. And matter of fact, in Munster, that's where our hall is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been something bugging me for about 3 or 4 weeks now.
Okay.
I'm a night owl.
Yeah.
And probably sometime in January, I got hooked up with Lionel from New York.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, correct?
Sure.
Yeah. He now does the weekend stuff.
Yeah. And so when they, nothing against, is it Walter Sterling?
Walter.
Am I pronouncing his name right?
Right.
Okay. Not nothing against him, but it's too much UFO stuff and too much conspiracy stuff. So it's like, wonder what happened to Walter. So one Saturday morning, like I say, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I listened to him, and he's happy just to do weekends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but then here's what's been bugging me, but he's not on Sunday mornings though, and I guess that's my question. Why is he not on Sunday mornings? Nothing against you two, you know, on a Sunday morning, but why did they take him off for Sunday mornings? Because if he's just going to do weekends.
Well, he was never on Sunday mornings. So,
well, he says his show goes Saturdays.
Oh,
I know. 1 a.m. and then Sunday at 1 a.m.
Okay, I know what the difference is. His show originates out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
On the radio station in New York, he may be on right now.
Yeah.
So yes, he told me that.
Yeah,
he did tell me that.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably what he was talking about. And Lionel and the overnight programming during the week, that also comes out in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's live, but it is originated in New York.
where they like UFOs.
Yeah.
I guess.
And all kinds of other things.
Yes.
Oh, Walter Sterling, boy, he's really into that, but yeah. You know, teach their own.
Well, and then I, there was a time...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We did overnights for almost 30 years. And
we
found out real soon that there is an element that really enjoys that kind of stuff at night. It just wasn't our thing because we weren't doing radio for people who were sleeping. We were doing radio for people who had to be up working, whether they're truck drivers or doctors, nurses, whatever that happened to be up. And we found out early on that there was an audience for that, and they were perfectly happy to be dealing with things that people during the day were doing, but just doing it at night, as opposed to UFOs and Bigfoot and things like that. So,
yeah, that's another one of his Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But you said you had another question?
I caught it a couple different times, but I didn't hear the reason. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned twice now, if you might not be on next week now, are they going to discontinue your show?
No.
Well, we're going to be on next week. We just don't know what
time.
Because WGN is carrying the Stanley Cup Finals. So, and that doesn't start next Saturday night till about 7 o'clock. So while we would normally start at 9, we're probably not going to start till closer to 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be here next week.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't catch that part, but that makes sense now. So.
Well, thank you for letting us repeat it, though, because there are some people who are half asleep, so they're thinking, well, that's it.
Like us.
Yes, that's it. They're gone. No, I appreciate your listening to the station. Now, so even though you're retired, you're still a night owl.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So,
and then, you know, another favorite of mine, real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got hooked on that Raleigh James, too. She's a hoot.
She is. And she knows
and
her stuff.
She knows her music.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I did. I can't even touch her.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, we used to do a fun thing on our show, One Hit Wonders.
Yeah.
Where Steve and Wayne Jancic, the author of the book One Hit Wonders, would just take random calls. Hand to God. Nobody ever did any research. And I would sit back in awe of the fact that they would know these obscure songs.
Somebody would call in and they would have a song title and we would have to tell them who did the song.
Yeah. And so that was great fun. And so Raleigh has proven she would have been oh so worthy for that kind of thing, because she just takes on all kinds of calls and just you listen to her and go, oh my gosh. I don't even remember what I did yesterday, but she remembers what the flip side of a song from 1963 was.
Well, oddly enough, the first time we ever heard Raleigh, we were on vacation. We were driving down to Panama City Beach, and I want to say it was around 3 in the morning, and we're just tuning around, and we're picking up local radio stations, and there was Raleigh in the middle of the night, and we stuck with her because she was doing this what she does now. Talking about old music and giving the backstories and stuff like that, and she's great at that.
And then we reached out to her and said, "Hey," and come to find out she was aware of us, and then we were aware of her. So yeah, she's a sweetheart too.
Yeah, she is.
She loves her listeners.
She mentioned Bob Surratt's name probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then it's. My mom's been deceased since 96.
I'm sorry.
My mom, thank you. My mom used to do a mini Pearl act.
Really?
No exaggeration. Oh. Years ago, Raleigh James interviewed her many, many years ago. not my mom, but the mini Pearl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you have to be kidding me. And then I was born in Encino, California, and she's from, I don't know if she was born in L.A. or a suburb, but she's from California, around Los Angeles, and it's like, wow, what a small world.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of in awe of the fact your mom was doing a mini Pearl act?
Yes.
Where did she do it?
I've never heard of anybody else doing a mini Pearl act.
No, where did she do it? Did she...
Have you ever heard of Buck Lake Ranch? I lived in Fort Wayne before I moved to Whiting 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's but a lot of country stuff, Buck Lake Ranch. I think it's Albion or Auburn, Indiana.
Oh,
okay.
My mom would do stuff around there.
Yeah.
And then, like, here and there, little bars, that kind of thing.
Huh.
So, And she was good, too.
Like, that's amazing.
That's fun.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you, of all of our last callers, certainly deserve a WGN Radio T-shirt, the official T-shirt. So we're going to get one of those out to you, Marty. And it's a pleasure to meet you from Whiting, Indiana.
Yeah. Hold on for a couple seconds, and Jeff will get all of your personal information off the air.
And we'll be by in 45 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Once we get your address.
Heading out in that direction. Yes. So, put on the coffee for us.
I feel so silly. It was like the night has just slipped away from me. Because this
was a fast 5 hours.
I'm looking at my to-do list, and I've got like five things left on the to-do list.
And that reminds me that there will be a gluten-free recipe that will show up on our blog. And also, we'll let you know when the podcast is up. And just to follow our blog during the week, and you'll see all kinds of stuff before the other social media sites see it.
Yeah, do sign up for the blog, because it is just,
no cost.
It's just us. We don't share that information with anyone else. And then whatever happens with Facebook, you know that we can always communicate with each other that way.
We are running out of words, and more importantly, running out of time.
Yes.
So theoretically, we'll talk to you sometime next week. We don't know when, but
So our thanks to Ron and to Bob, the keeper of the big plug, and Jeff and Jonathan on the other side of the glass tonight.
And to you for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week.